The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Thursday, January 21st. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Joe Biden signed a series of executive orders from the Oval Office hours after his inauguration. Biden wore a mask while seated behind the Resolute desk with a stack of orders early Wednesday evening. He said there was no time to start like today. Biden signed three orders on camera for reporters, first creating a mask mandate on federal properties, then an order to address underserved communities and create a standard of equality. The third order rejoins the Paris Climate Accord, fulfilling a campaign pledge. The move undoes the U.S. withdrawal order by predecessor Donald Trump, who belittled the science behind climate efforts, loosened regulations on heat-trapping oil, gas, and coal emissions, and spurred oil and gas leasing in pristine Arctic tundra and other wilderness. The Paris Accord commits 195 countries to come up with a goal to reduce carbon pollution and monitor and report their fossil fuel emissions. The United States is the world's number two carbon emitter after China. Biden also issued executive orders reversing some of former President Donald Trump's immigration policies, such as halting work at a U.S.-Mexican border wall and lifting a travel ban on people from several predominantly Muslim countries. He also ordered his cabinet to work to keep deportation protections for hundreds of thousands of people brought to the United States as children. There were more than a dozen more executive orders Biden was signing on his first day. President Donald Trump late Tuesday issued a final batch of pardons and commutations. Among those pardoned was Gary Hendler of Ardmore, Pennsylvania. I went down the list and all of a sudden I saw my name and I absolutely couldn't believe it. I had to look at it three or four times to make sure I wasn't still sleeping, said Hendler. So you can imagine his shock Wednesday as he woke up to find his six-year quest for a pardon was finally granted. It was nearly 40 years ago. The now married father of two was convicted of conspiracy to distribute and dispense controlled substances. He was specifically busted for his brief involvement in opening up a Quaalude clinic in Philadelphia with some friends from college. Hendler said that he was kicked out of the ill-fated and illegal venture. Then in 1982, Hendler said that he decided to turn his life around and get clean. 2 years later, when the clinic was busted by the feds, Hendler's lack of involvement and sobriety led to only 3 years probation. I really wanted this since I got sober in 1982, he said. He applied for the pardon during the Obama administration. He believes his nearly four decades of service in helping others recover from their addictions made for a good case. He was also recently appointed by Governor Tom Wolf to serve as a member of the Pennsylvania Advisory Council on Drug and Alcohol Abuse.
He was in jail for 40 years,
no,
is that what you said?
Okay, wait, what? No, I never said 40, and I never said jail. No, he did 3 years probation.
And he got pardoned from that?
He wanted his record. Yeah, his record.
Oh, I thought he was in jail.
No. Dude, listen, I thought that's a little harsh. So it was also, weeks ago, he pardoned Jared Kushner's father. And I was like, wait a second, he's still in jail? And my wife is like, no, son. What that means is now he can actually, like, get a bank loan.
Get your record expunged.
Okay.
I got you.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you can, like, apply for this.
Yeah, I didn't know either.
Which is what he said.
It happens all the time throughout history, you know, that's... when you're leaving, that's when you start rapid-fire doing it.
Oh, yeah, I know that, but I didn't know...
No, I know you know that.
Like, for years, something that happened ages ago, I just thought it was people who were in jail.
Yeah,
who were getting out. So, okay.
Yeah, especially. In fact, this is an easy one to do. The guy's out. He's doing good. Yeah. It's not like he's, you know.
Right. And he said that that was probably the reason for, you know, it made for a good case.
And check him on the pile.
Though not essential to his day-to-day, Hendler says the presidential pardon does bring some closure. It's a final chapter of my life of drug addiction and criminal activities. It just feels good, Hendler said. There is a jackpot winner in the $731 million Powerball, the first to get the top prize in months. Thanks to math and bad luck, lottery players had another shot at a giant jackpot Wednesday night as the $731 million Powerball prize was on the line. According to lottery officials, the winning ticket was sold in Maryland.
Oh, so close.
That is close.
Still could be one of our listeners.
You almost won, Case.
Yeah, I was pretty close.
It's the fourth largest jackpot in Powerball history. The single ticket sold matched all six numbers Wednesday night. Wednesday's winning numbers are 53, 60, 40, 68, 69, and the Powerball is 22.
Oh, man.
The jackpot climbed to an estimated $731.1 million at a time of the drawing, with a cash option of $546.8 million. 12 tickets matched all five white balls, but missed the matching the red Powerball in Wednesday night's drawing. So that's the $1 million prize. The $1 million winning tickets were sold in California. There were two in California, two in Georgia, two in Illinois, and then three in Maine, Michigan, and New Jersey.
Okay.
And then one in Oregon. So if you know anybody who bought a ticket in New Jersey, check in with them.
Whenever I buy a Quick Pick and I see the numbers, I look at the numbers and I go, yeah, those look like good numbers, you know? And then I'm like, that makes zero sense whatsoever.
I never glance at them. I fold it up and stick it in my wallet, right?
Yeah. I always check them to make sure that they're not anywhere close to the numbers that, like, I do play. Like,
because you might lose it.
No, like, the birthday numbers. You know, I just want a little variety,
right,
Steve.
Right, yeah.
But listen, I know how ridiculous
know.
It is.
It is the incentive. It's really what fuels Case's thing to work. Is
I don't look at the numbers.
There's
too many numbers below 20 in this one, man.
You know, I feel completely fine about this news because I didn't play.
Well, look at how high these numbers are. 53, 60, 40,
so,
40
right?
68, 69.
Yeah. I know.
That's I would have looked at that going, that's a loser.
That's a loser right there. Loser.
Well, and so another thing I didn't know about this was the power play option. Do you guys do that?
No. What is the power play option?
So it's an additional dollar, and one ticket sold in Maryland matched all five white balls and doubled the prize to $2 million because they included that power play, which is an additional dollar.
I have been asked that before, and I pass on it.
Well, don't.
Because that's just ridiculous.
I'm not paying a buck for that.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The announcement
at that point, it becomes gambling.
The announcement comes only a day after nobody won the even larger Mega Million dollar prize, which now stands at $970 million.
So Mega Millions all across multiple states, yes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that'll go Friday, right?
Yeah, it's Tuesdays and Fridays.
Okay.
You owe me an apology for disagreeing with me a couple of weeks ago about that.
He didn't hold on to that at all.
No.
I don't know what he's talking about.
Neither do I.
Okay, we'll do sports.
Well, I'm not giving you any sound effects.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers beat the Celtics last night at the Wells Fargo Center. Joel Embiid had 42 points and 10 rebounds. Tobias Harris scored 22 points to lead the Philadelphia 76ers to a
117-109
win over the Boston Celtics. Embiid is off to the best start of his career and topped 40 points for the second time in three games. He shot 12 of 19 from the floor with one three-pointer and was 17 of 21 from the free throw line. Ben Simmons had 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 8 assists. The team will be back at it tomorrow as they host the Boston Celtics at 7:30. The Flyers start a 4-game road trip at Boston. They play the Bruins tonight at 7 o'clock. And finally, Philip Rivers, who went to San Diego in a draft day trade in 2004 and played quarterback for the Chargers all but his final season in the NFL, announced his retirement yesterday. It's just time, Rivers told the Union Tribune late Tuesday night from his home in Indianapolis, where earlier this month he completed his only season with the Colts. It's just right, he says. Rivers, who wore number 17 throughout his 17 seasons, played in 244 regular season games, starting the final 240 of those without interruption. That streak is the second longest ever by an NFL quarterback, behind Brett Favre's 297. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you, Kathy. Somebody texting wants to point out that $970 million is like a billion. So.
Billion.
Yeah,
he's right.
It's
almost there.
Correct.
It's like billion.
Right there.
It's only a couple hundred million away.
Casey, I have a question. Yeah. Did you make the coffee this morning?
No.
Oh, it's actually good.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoever made it.
All right. I poured it.
Thumbs up on whoever made it, though. They got
Which
it right.
Which carafe did you go with?
With the right.
All right, if you go with the left carafe, it tends to be a little bit milder. If you go with the right carafe, it tends to be a little bit more...
robust?
Robust.
I don't care for the robust.
Neither do I.
So somebody did it properly, whoever it was. So thank you, mystery coffee person, for cooking. We don't know who made it. There's several people that work on the floor, so, you know, you kind of get what you get. So I'm happy. It's a good way to start the day. And we also have some good things for you to continue the day, including money. We have the No Sad Dough, of course, two times today in our show alone, 8 and 10 a.m. Then it goes out through the rest of the day on the even hours until 8 p.m. That's 7 opportunities to win $500. Don't miss out on your chance. We also have joining us a guest. We actually had him on not that long ago, but he's promoting something else this time. Stacy Keach.
Yes.
The legendary actor. And he is the host of a show called American Greed. It's been on for several seasons on...
Like 15.
Yeah, CNBC. Yeah. But this particular episode that he's promoting coming up is a story that we're fascinated with.
Yeah.
And it's the NXIVM cult.
NXIVM, Keith Raniere.
Keith Raniere. Yeah. And so he's going to dive into that, which is pretty cool. So we'll talk to Stacey Keach later on in the program. I do have a question from a texter, and I guess it's off of what we had replayed, the old segment that we play back in the morning this morning. Somebody was asking, is poop knife one word or two?
That's a good question.
I consider it to be one.
Oh, really?
Do you? Yeah.
Oh,
As if, like, the whole, it's a description of a, you know, it's like a shotgun.
Right.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
all one word.
I would be fine with that,
word,
yeah.
But what, knife. All right, what about steak knife? Is steak knife one word or two?
They're showing it as two. Well, they're showing it as two words here, Preston.
This is on originalpoopknife.com.
Listen, these are things that have to be hashed out before you compose a letter.
Yeah, Nick asked me a good question last week. He asked me if butt cheek is one word or do you spread them apart?
Or do you spread them apart? Yeah, that's a good question. Is Nick actually joining us today?
He should be online.
Nick, are you there?
He just texted me and said Tuesdays and Fridays. So.
Oh, he did? Well, he's listening. So,
yeah, I hope so.
That's good. I have his...
He said engineers didn't connect me yet.
Okay. Well, we'll work on that later. Nick is still under the weather. He is at home. He is going to check in with us via technology.
They stuck a camera in his schnoz the other day.
So, yeah, yeah. And he passed out. Yeah. We need to actually hear that story from him personally.
That's like that me. Went. Like, that's some me stuff. That's some
you?
Kathy stuff. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, when things like that happen and I see it, that's it. That's when I go down.
You check out.
Yeah.
That's when you go down.
I told him, because I talked
that's
to him.
That's why the doctors
it.
Love you.
I said, well, you should pass out at a pediatrician's office because I woke up once and they were going, give her a juice box.
Ooh. This is you as an adult or as a child?
Oh, as an adult while Jace was getting stitches.
Seriously?
I passed out.
Give her a juice box.
And they took me in, they go, get her out of here. And they took me into another room and then I heard a lady go, get her a juice box.
That's hilarious.
Stat.
Oh my
and
God.
I got
give me 20 cc's of apple juice.
I got a lollipop once at a different doctor's office when I passed out and he was like, she needs like some sort of sugar. Give her a lollipop.
Oh, is that a good girl?
A lollipop and a juice box.
Get her a Go-Gurt.
Get her
quick.
A Go-Gurt. Hurry.
Chicken nuggets.
Oh, God. Wow. All right. Well, we'll get Nick on in a little bit. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. The Entertainment Report. The Stupid Question. Those things are on the way. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now. Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, let's see if you know the answer. Wait, let's see if Nick's here first. Did we ever get to Nick? Are you there?
No. Hey.
For like a split second, I thought that was him. Okay. He's not feeling good. We're working on getting his signal on. Nick is at home. He's not feeling well, so we'll have that in a little bit. Right now, we have a stupid question. We are going to give away a digital download of the romantic comedy Sister of the Groom with Tom Everett Scott and Alicia Silverstone. The question I have for you this morning, the 1988 film Mystic Pizza.
Yes.
What was the slogan for the namesake pizza parlor? I wouldn't have been able to. I found this this morning.
I've been to that pizza parlor.
Was it good?
It is very good. It's Greek pizza.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's really well done.
Yeah, I went to the aquarium there and all that.
Oh, and I had
cute little
the worst food poisoning in my life
from Mystic
Pizza. I remembered, Preston, these words came out of my mouth. Does this chicken look weird to you?
Wow, okay.
And the rest is history.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that question. The name of the slogan for the namesake pizza parlor, Mystic Pizza. All right, call now. I'll go through some birthdays while we are awaiting your answer. Today is Thursday, January 21st. Charlotte Ross, who was on NYPD Blue, turns 53. I don't know who she is. I saw her name on the list.
Yeah. some indiscriminate person who really made no impact on
Charlotte Ross.
I watched that show all the time, so I probably didn't know who she was. Okay, yes, I do know who she was.
Oh, I like it, her. Yeah.
She's beautiful.
Yeah.
She's 53 today. Gina Davis. I was just watching A League of Their Own. It's one of those movies. It's on. I'm not doing anything else. I'll spend some time with it. Rochelle and I had an argument, but a short discussion about whether or not Dottie dropped the ball
on
purpose.
Yep.
What's your belief?
Rochelle thinks she did. I do not think that she dropped it on purpose.
I don't think so either. I don't think she would have compromised the integrity of everything. It's just not who she was.
She's a straight-up competitor. Yep. In fact, she says to her right before she goes to the mound and has a quick discussion with the pitcher. Yep. And she goes to her, she goes, high fastballs. She can't hit them, can't lay off them.
Yeah.
So at that point, her intent was, strike her out.
Yep.
Let's get this over with and win this thing.
I didn't know this was a thing until you guys mentioned
it.
Yeah. Like, I had no idea that people thought she dropped it on purpose.
Yeah, in fact, Lori Petty, who plays Kit, it was her birthday, and Nick had texted out, Dottie didn't drop the ball on purpose. And Lori responded to that, to Nick's tweet. So even those stars are quite aware that there's controversy surrounding that. But she's great. Gina Davis, Beetlejuice, Thelma and Louise. Oh, yeah. That clip.
That's the bus driver.
That comes from A League of Their Own. It's Jimmy Dugan wakes up from a drunken stupor, and they tell him that Lou the bus driver left, and he doesn't know who Lou was. And that's why who Lou is. So Gina Davis is 65 today. Placido Domingo, the opera singer, one of the three tenors, right?
That is correct.
Yes.
As I recollect, did I have some trouble with Me Too?
I think you did. That is correct.
I think he had to touch the boobies.
I think he had to issue some apologies.
I'm a bad boy.
He is 80 years old.
Who are the three? Him, Pavarotti,
and Jose
Canseco.
No, not Jose Canseco. That would be great. The third guy was Jose Canseco. Yeah. His name is Jose
Feliciano. No,
no, and it's
that's
not
another baseball.
The name
player
that comes to mind is Jose Ferrar, but he's an actor.
Yes, no.
Yeah. And it wasn't him.
Is it Jose? It probably is.
I'm pretty certain. I don't know, Kathy. You're going to have to be our Nick today because Nick's not here. If you could look up the name of the three tenors, that would be fantastic. So Placido
or the three outfielders,
Placido Domingo. Pavarotti, Luciano Pavarotti.
And
it's Jose something.
Yeah.
Carreras.
Jose what?
Carreras.
Carreras. So Jose, he's the only one, I think, who is bereft of any sort of scandal.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Placido is 80 today. The great Jack Nicklaus celebrates his birthday today. Hall of Fame golfer, one of the all-time greats.
You've said said the best player of all time.
Yes. He's no, not Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Jack Nicklaus.
Oh.
I beg your pardon.
Yeah, he's the greatest. And his stats, and I've said this before, not only the amount of wins that he had, but the amount of his second place finishes,
right,
which were usually just by one stroke, it's staggering. So he could have. He would just edge it up on those. He would have. He did dominate, but he's just pretty much untouchable. So Jack is 81.
So there is a documentary about Tiger Woods on HBO Max right now.
What do you think of
documentary? I liked it.
It's the one they're making a big deal about because they talked to Rachel Lucatel and all, and his.
Listen, anybody that they're interviewing was at some point in their lives spurned by Tiger Woods,
right?
And they are close, like his first girlfriend Rachel Lucatel, friends of the family, like all of these people. Anybody that is close to him now, they don't talk, but they do talk about him wanting to be the greatest golfer of all time, and he is not, as far as winning the most majors, he's not there yet.
I think people change. I mean, or with every bad story, there are good stories. You got to take someone as a collection of incidents and assess them that way. I was never a massive, I appreciated Tiger Woods' capability.
Right.
But I'm not that much into the sport the way you are, Preston. But I see him now with his own son. And he seems to be in a good place.
Right, right.
Seems to be going well.
I mean,
you wish the best for him.
Listen, I'm certain, he's been egotistical along the way.
Yes.
And not
evil.
Everybody is that way. But you can't deny his ability. But I'm
I don't hate. There are people that hate Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah.
Hate
him. Oh, yeah.
I am not one of those. Well, but I also don't, you know, bow to him as well. I think he's a great golfer, and I've really appreciated what he's done for the sport and loved watching him over the years, for sure.
It's good advice when we've picked a few people amongst us. Watch the idolatry.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, yeah,
because,
no question.
Well,
because it'll come around and bite you in the ass.
It's kind of how I feel about everybody. Listen, this kid.
You look up to me so much, though.
Well, listen, you're a good person. You have a great moral compass. But
I
anyway.
Have no prostate, though.
You're right. Yeah. I was going to say something. He's just a person. He's just a human being that can hit a tiny little white ball better than most people, right? Yep. That's it. And so
you nailed it.
That's true. Listen, watch this documentary, Steve, and tell me what you think about the guy from the National Enquirer. I wanted to jump through the screen and strangle this guy.
All right. I will tell you.
Nicholas is 81. Here's a guy we've idolized forever, Billy Ocean.
Yeah.
Celebrates his birthday today.
I don't think modern-day Beethoven is overstating it.
Billy Ocean, Caribbean Queen. Big hit for him.
Did he do the song for that? No, you didn't. I'm thinking of it. All right. Scratch that.
Okay. What were you thinking, though?
The song that Michael McDonald sings on.
Oh, Running Scared?
Is he on that as well?
No, but I don't think so, but it sounds a lot like a Billy Ocean song. Right. Or maybe he wrote it. I don't know, Steve.
Who knows?
But he's 71 today.
He can go to hell.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
That's great.
He made me look foolish to a lot of listeners.
Robbie Benson, the actor. We were just talking about one of his movies not that long ago.
Pointed out that the coach from one of his movies, One-on-One, is one of the great
great douchebag actors.
Yeah.
He plays a great evil character in all his films. I've forgotten the actor's name.
Oh, yeah.
Godfather 2. You know, he actually was a multimillionaire and then decided to become an actor.
What?
And not Robbie Benson, played the douche coach. Yeah. So he was actually well off before he entered acting and decided to get into it. He's also the guy with the hooker in the brothel, the senator.
Yeah,
in Godfather 2.
And if you ever saw the movie Tank,
yes,
he was the jerk in that movie too, which was with Rockford Files.
James Garner.
Yeah.
Robbie Benson was the voice of Beast in Beauty and the Beast.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yep. He's 65 today. And then the last birthday is actor Luke Grimes.
La 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 Luke.
He's on the show Yellowstone. He's an American Sniper, True Blood as well, and the 50 Shades of films he has done.
I like this guy.
37 today.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if somebody knows the answer to this question. In the 1988 film Mystic Pizza, what's the slogan for the namesake pizza parlor? And I will go to Clint for the answer. Hey, Clint, good morning.
Hey there, bitch.
Hey, Clint, what is the slogan for Mystic Pizza?
A slice of heaven.
You got it.
Slice of heaven. Mystic's a beautiful town.
Hold on just a second, Clint. We are going to get you a digital download of the hilarious romantic comedy Sister of the Groom, starring Tom Everett Scott and Alicia Silverstone. You can stream it instantly on your smart TV or favorite device with the Redbox app today. It's rated R from Paramount Pictures. All right, let's get into the stories I have for you this morning. A lawyer for the Daily Mail publishers argued that, or in London High Court on Wednesday, that Meghan Markle could not reasonably expect privacy when she sent her father, Thomas Markle, a private letter. Okay. Meghan sued the paper for invasion of privacy after they published excerpts of the letter. Let me say that again. So you could not reasonably expect privacy when she sent her father a private letter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I understand that there are certain things you surrender when you achieve a certain level of notoriety and fame. However, so who leaked this letter?
I don't know. If the father did, then I guess that's his prerogative to do so.
Yeah, he was the recipient of the letter.
To someone, they now own that letter.
Right.
So, yeah. Attorney Anthony White said it is to be inferred that the letter was written and sent by the claimant with a view to it being disclosed to third parties and read by the public.
Ipso facto!
Anano Domini. He added that ex-employees of Meghan and Prince Harry would be able to shed light on the creation of the letter when the case comes to trial. The Duchess, meanwhile, is seeking a summary judgment that would dismiss the paper's defense case and preclude the need for a fair trial. Prince William, meanwhile, is looking for a new secretary.
Christian Jones, his private secretary for less than a year, has stepped
Most
down.
Must have a promoted cutter.
To become a partner of the $25 billion private equity firm Bridgepoint, where
you,
he will lead corporate affairs.
When you reach a level where you're at a secretary for the royalty, you're very desirable to other businesses.
Yeah.
They figure.
Absolutely.
They're not going with some, you know, somebody they found on Monster.com.
Yep. They cover that in the show The Crown. They cover the secretary's a fair amount.
And sure,
It's a big job.
Big deal, yeah.
After reportedly resisting mediation initially, Shia LaBeouf seems to be ready to settle with his ex, FKA Twigs. She has a suit against him. His attorney, Sean Hawley, has filed a case management statement. Us reports, while he still maintains his innocence against the abuse charge, that she levied against him in December. The statement reveals that the Transformer alum is willing to participate in mediation amid the case.
Is Optimus Prime handling his case?
Maybe,
or
maybe he is.
They worked up quite a friendship.
That would be very intimidating to have him in court arguing their case.
I believe my client is innocent.
Per Holly's...
Would you stop doing that?
Previous revelations, LaBeouf knows that he needs help, and he and his team are actively seeking the kind of meaningful, intensive, long-term inpatient treatment that he desperately needs.
The court asks your lawyer to stop turning into a dump truck.
Stop it!
You'll be held in contempt if you turn into a front-end loader again.
That's impressive.
In her suit, Twigs claims that he knowingly gave her an STD and relentlessly abused and assaulted her for their 9-month relationship, which ended in June of 2019.
Was there a specification on that STD? Or?
Not that I've seen, no. Following her revelations, a stylist Carolyn Foe and singer Sia had shared their abuse allegations.
There's no arguing the dude is ultra intense. He's always been ultra intense. He is, again, we've said before, he's a really good actor. He's really good in the movie Fury. Yeah. But with that comes, I'm sure, a whole bunch of private baggage.
Yeah, yeah, probably. Massimo Giannulli has been released from solitary confinement after being held for weeks. And he is serving 5 months' time for his role in the college admission scandal, of course.
So now he's out in general population?
I guess so. The guest designer was supposed to be placed in isolation briefly, but was held there for an extended amount of time due to COVID.
Mm.
Let's see. Who made the statement? Federal prosecutors explained in a filing on Tuesday he was exposed to other inmates with COVID-19, and he complained of symptoms consistent with the virus. During this additional quarantine, Giannulli reportedly suffered a headache and loss of his sense of smell, both symptoms of COVID-19.
Yeah.
He was immediately moved to the isolation unit, where he stayed for 14 days and received additional COVID tests. There, he had access to books, mail, and television, and could communicate with other inmates in isolation through their cells.
And a crock pot, right?
So he was tested on January 11th, and a negative result came back 2 days later. On January 13th, he was moved to minimum security, where he can spend time outside between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So, yeah, he's in the gen
so
pop.
So is there a complete opposite in jail? Solitary confinement? Is there maximum confinement where they do, like, put you in a phone booth with 100 other people?
I don't think they do that. But I have seen holding tanks where, like, a whole lot of people are hanging out. My uncle, who got in some legal trouble, was thrown in one of those. And he just said all he did was keep to himself and stay quiet and try to avoid anybody and everybody.
I told you about this series on Netflix where this guy who served actual time, he was sent to prison for a murder he didn't commit, but now he goes around and visits the worst prisons in the world.
I watched the South African one.
There was one where half the prison is just a caged-in area.
Oof.
There are no they just sleep on the ground or crates. They rummage through garbage, and you're just, that's it. There are, the guards just stand around and watch.
Sounds like Midnight Express.
That's like a top-level Sheraton compared to this place. And then there's one part that's actually run like a jail. The Catholic Church funds that to sort of, you know, give them incentive to do something better. They can't do drugs, they have to go to mass, and that, so everyone wants to get into that thing. But I mean, it is hell on earth.
Wow. So I don't think that's where Giannulli is.
No.
Judge has not yet ruled on his request to serve the rest of his time from home. Prosecutors opposed the motion, explaining this possibility was not unforeseeable at the time Giannulli was sentenced.
Imagine if they did send him. What?
And it does not provide a basis to reduce the sentence that the court concluded was just and appropriate. They noted that if he was released early, the decision would be widely publicized, thereby undermining the deterrent effect of the sentence.
On a positive note, Olivia Jade has started posting more on Instagram now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Machine Gun Kelly, speaking of social media, has addressed his absence from the platforms, revealing that he has been in a, quote, effed up place for months.
He's using clinical talk now.
He explained, I just want to say to my fans, I've been in kind of like a effed up place personally for a couple of months in my head, so I haven't been that active on socials.
When you hear stuff like that, do you think he's going through issues with Megan Fox?
Or maybe he's been partying too hard or something like that.
That's possible.
He continued, but I just got a call from the label about downfall height highs. I'm like tripping out.
Tripping balls.
Made a verbal typo. It ended up being 16 million. Love you all so much. Thanks for these moments. And he tweeted a few days back saying anxiety's eating me alive. So whatever it is, it was getting to him.
All right.
Let's see here. Danny Masterson pleaded not guilty to rape charges against him on Wednesday. He did not appear at the court hearing in L.A. His lawyer, Tom Messero, also requested the media not be allowed into the trial. He had said, we want a fair trial and an unbiased jury. We want a jury that is not contaminated by negative media coverage. And in the interest of fairness, we're requesting that there be no media presence. He's been charged with 3 counts of rape and faces 45 years to life in prison if convicted.
I never understand why some of these court hearings they don't have to go to. I mean, this is a rape charge and he didn't have to go? Like, what? That doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. Yeah.
There are certain, like, preliminary hearings that it'll say, like, defendant not present. So I guess it's... Well, optional or something? I don't know.
I guess at preliminary, sometimes you just enter a plea and that's it.
Right. It can be that quick.
Shouldn't you be there to say, this is my plea?
Yeah, I don't think so. But if your lawyer is there to speak for you, I guess it's and it's agreed upon and everybody knows the situation, then they're okay. I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
Yeah. What am I, a transformer?
Yeah.
We don't know what we're talking about.
What am I, Bumblebee here?
Yeah,
get out of here. Dale Moss and Claire Crawley are officially going their separate ways.
Aha!
After getting engaged on The Bachelorette.
I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. And I knew she would regret this. Mm-hmm. She was going to be the star of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She fell for one of these idiots.
Mm-hmm.
And I love you.
Mm-hmm.
You're so under. I don't even want to finish the show because you're so awesome.
So she didn't finish the season?
No, she left, which...
Yeah.
She about 2 episodes in.
I found the one!
Uh-huh.
She could have had the whole run of the show.
Yeah, I watched it. This is the only episode that I watched.
A source tells people that Dale Moss... was not ready for marriage and kids.
Ooh!
Wow.
Slow down, bitch.
And so he went on a show that was specifically about getting married.
Okay. Exactly.
In a statement, he said, we strongly believe in leading with love and always remaining true to oneself, something our families have taught and instilled in us throughout our lives. We only hope the best things for one another.
So let me, ladies, when a guy looks this good... Don't trust a single thing he says.
Don't trust him.
Don't trust him. If you ever meet somebody who looks like me, you can believe what we're saying.
Yeah. If he looks like that, he's
we've got
not
nothing.
One.
Well, this guy never trust anything.
If you remember, she'd been berated by one of the other bachelors who was telling her because they had done like strip volleyball or something like that. And he was like, you're trash, I'm better than this, and blah, blah, blah. And so she got really upset. This was the guy who swooped in first.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why she was like, oh, my God, you're my knight in shining armor.
It's like the guy who goes to a single, like a single spot, like a real pickup joint goes, I hate places like this.
Uh-huh.
What are you doing here?
We had it on. It just happened to be on, and me and my son and daughter, and I'm watching it, and just because I know what it is, and it's funny to me, watching these forced situations that they put each other in. And my kids had questions. They're like,
what's going on?
What is happening
here?
And
I'm trying my best to explain to them, you know, that these are attention seekers.
Exactly.
And that this isn't real.
They're looking for fame.
You know, and
they can't act or sing.
And I'm like, nobody other than maybe two couples out of the 28, however many.
Yeah.
Versions of this have ever stayed married, and I'm just trying to explain it to them. But they're going, but why are they doing it? I'm like, yeah, exactly.
I would pose, I want this survey taken. Take the amount of people who have met on this show and the success rate, and just hold that against any random bar with the amount of people that come in and meet and the success rate.
Right.
I guarantee you that it's far less likely you'll meet someone you'll connect with on this show.
It would be refreshing if they just ended the whole marriage part of it.
Yeah.
If they just ended that.
Oh, and you just, yeah.
Yeah,
you
just hook up.
You became a couple. You became a couple. That's exactly what they should do.
As Peter North said, though, that's the money shot.
I know.
And that's what they're looking for, so they can be there, you know, in the garden or cliffside. You know, 9 minutes ago when I met you, I didn't realize how much I...
And the other thing they need to do is rename it.
Yeah.
To, instead of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, just call it The Harem. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's your sex pool. Oh, it's one lucky man or woman gets their sex pool to choose from.
That's it.
Rock on, man. I would appreciate the transparency.
It's the lie, though, that makes it work.
I know.
They called it failed expectations. No.
I know, you're right.
You're right.
All right, so anyhow, they broke up. I know we're all torn up about this. Arnold Schwarzenegger shared a shot of himself getting vaccinated and urged everyone else to join him. He said, "Today was a good day. I've never been happier to wait in a line." And he does have a great... you got to love Arnold because he delivers the lines,
right.
Okay? So he said, "I've never been happier to wait in a line. If you're eligible, join me and sign up to get your vaccine. Come with me. If you want to live," is what he said.
And then the nurse said, "Is that from one of your movies or something?" I don't watch a lot of your movies, Mr. Van Damme.
Jesus Christ. I was huge in this town.
Come with me if you want to
live. She doesn't even know.
Great line.
This is, you know, this sort of thing where you put the needle in the arm and you fight the virus with the vaccine.
And I guess the mayor of Los Angeles was there. He said, "Thanks for checking me in at Dodger Stadium." And then he put the mayor of L.A. Screen name. And he said, "What a crazy surprise." So there you go. Alex Trebek's final week hosting Jeopardy drew the show's best ratings in 8 months, as you can imagine. As you can imagine.
Oh, man.
The TV critic entered bed, as you can imagine.
As you can imagine.
With the last episode earning more eyeballs than any other in a year and a half. The host passed away on November 8th, taped his final episodes in October, and a permanent host for the show has yet to be named, and obviously they're going through. It's still Ken Jennings right now, right?
Yeah, and I think they shot 5 weeks with Ken.
Excellent.
I honestly think he's doing a damn good job.
Yeah, I do too.
And I think that no one has more of a right to be on that stage than does he. So, you know, as he says, he talks about his regular banter. He wants to polish that up a little bit. Again, so I say this,
great.
I would not be upset if Ken was the man.
Yeah, I agree. This is a great story. Tom Holland, we all love him.
Yeah, he's great.
When he heard that he was cast as Spider-Man, apparently he broke his computer. He tells the story to Variety. He said, he had found out after an exhausting round of auditions, after losing a golf game and thinking that he had also lost the part. He said, "I got my computer and my dog was sitting next to me and I type in Marvel." And he said, "I've still got the article saved on my computer. It said, 'We would like to introduce our new Spider-Man, Tom Holland.'" He said, "I broke my computer because I flipped it up into the air. It fell off my bed. My dog went nuts. I ran downstairs. I was telling my family, 'I got the part. I got the part.' And obviously, that was right about the time when Sony had gotten hacked. So my brother, Harry, who's quite tech savvy, was like, 'No.' He's like, 'There's no, that's not real. They would have called you. They've been hacked.'"
Right.
And he said, "And then the studio called me and gave me the news. It was so bizarre how it happened."
That's happened a number of times where people find out they've gotten roles or have been, their shows have been canceled that way. He's so good. If you see some of his audition stuff where he's doing the basic flipping and stuff like that, he's very athletic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's cool to see. People that can do that stuff where they're just go running and you know, without much effort appear to flip up in the air and all that.
I follow them on Twitter.
It's amazing.
There's like three different guys. They're just tumblers and
That's
parkour
cool.
guys. I love them.
Speaking of the Variety, there was another article around a superhero star, Danielle Kaluuya, who is in Black Panther, who's also in Get Out. He's the main character in Get Out. First realized that Black Panther was more than a movie while he was shooting it. He said, I think it's something that we were aware that was bubbling. There was one day he said, we did the waterfall scene. And obviously in between takes, everybody just stays on set. And there were hundreds of people on the set. And we had actual drummers that were there. And in between takes, they would play the beat for Snoop Dogg's Drop It Like It's Hot. And then everyone would go, Snoop, like hundreds of people literally doing that. And when I saw that, I was like, yeah, this isn't going to be quiet. There was an energy, and everyone was so privileged to be a part of this moment. So you know, he could feel it.
It's wild when you watch a lot of those movies and so many of these incredibly big, like, Endgame. And they're really, most of those scenes are shot on sound stages, you know, with a lot of green and a lot of people in, and even a lot of rendered costumes. It will blow you away how much is done after the fact in camera and through computers.
Yep.
And it looks so good.
Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is filming its fourth season in New York with COVID precautions in full effect. Thank God, because I watch that show. And
did you watch the third season?
We have to wait forever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and HBO Succession were two marquee New York-based series set to begin production in the summer, but they got pushed back, so they are working on that now.
You guys watch that, right, Kathy? You watch Succession?
I kind of lost interest. Okay. I watched
Don't tell Adam McKay.
No, I watched a little bit of it, and then it just, like, I don't know. I felt like it kind of wasn't really going anywhere.
Oh, okay.
Like, the same crap was happening again. They were all stabbing each other in the back.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of the thing, right?
One last story. Jorge Diaz, Dior Goodjohn, Brandon Sievers, and Krista Miller have joined the cast of HBO Max reboot of Head of the Class. They will be joined by newcomer Adrian Matthew Escalona. Head of the Class ran for five seasons between 1986 and 91 on ABC. Starred Howard Hessman as a teacher who helps a group of high school students realize that there is more to life than grades.
And then he left, and it was, what, Billy Connolly?
Correct, yes. The reboot will follow a similar storyline with Isabella Gomez playing the inspiring teacher. Diaz will play Elliot Olsen, who is described as a goofy English teacher who loves his job and is genuine to a fault. Goodjohn is Robin Rook, a STEM queen turned Twitch streamer and the de facto leader of the class, even if she refuses to admit it. You have a question?
Well, I just wanted to know if any of the original cast members are going to be on there.
Not that I know.
Because Dan Snyder is he was the original cast member.
He's a huge
juggernaut.
Yeah, he produces a ton of the shows on Disney and other, you know, tween networks.
Sievers will portray Terrell Smith, an uber-positive athlete who is all about team mentality, while Escalona is Miles Mendelsohn, the shy, introverted, overthinking coder who would rather spend time with computers than with people. And finally, Miller recurs as Principal Maris, who, while she may seem intimidating, always puts the students first.
I never watched. I watched the show occasionally. I was never a massive fan. I liked it.
I was in love with that redhead on that show.
Simone, I think her name was.
Yeah. And she never really did a whole lot acting.
Nobody did.
After that.
Robin Givens barely did. She was the only. Yeah. Robin
she
Givens.
She married Mike Tyson.
She was kind of the star.
I was a big fan.
She was the biggest name, I think. Well, besides, like, Howard Hessman and, you know, Billy Connolly, but I watched that. I watched every single episode. In fact, there was a final Jeopardy question a couple of weeks ago that I was so close to getting. I had it rhymed, and it was because of an episode of Head of the Class. They were talking about the name of the dog that went to space with Russia.
NASA. Oh, with Russia. Okay.
With Russia, and it was at the end of one of the final episodes of Head of the Class. I'll stop talking now, Preston.
Well, are you going to reveal us the answer?
No, because it was like almost like your doll's name's Jotna and Keetna. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It was like Kakna or something
I don't know what it was.
No, but I was so close
to launch Kakna into space.
But it was at the end of one of these episodes, and it was Dan Snyder's character.
I know you all fans of Head of the Class. And I'm honored to meet you, space dog Cockna.
So you just wanted to share that you almost got a Jeopardy question.
Almost.
Because
and it would have been really, really. But it wasn't because I.
Oh, my God.
Ten show pictures.
Oh, Jesus.
I almost got that question right.
Casey's truly inspiring story of almost getting a question right because he watched Head of the Class.
So,
hi, my name is Kathy Romano. I understand you watched a sitcom from the 70s and the 80s.
It was actually in the 80s, just the 80s.
And it almost helped you get a Jeopardy question right. All right, come over here to the window. I want to close it on your neck.
I was just going to say, I'm not helping in this situation. We didn't need that story.
Laka?
What are you saying?
I'm trying to think of the name
dogs,
of the
dog. You would thought it would be like something like Sputnik or something, but it's Laka? Not.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It isn't.
Only the head of the
class.
Hey,
you're welcome, everybody.
All right, here Laka. You go. This the question was, Casey, by a texter, this animal was called Mutnik by reporters.
Right.
So that person saw that episode of Jeopardy. And the name was Laika.
Yeah.
L-A-I-K-A.
I was so close.
Yeah, you were.
I was.
Right on the tip of your tongue. What an inspiring
story.
Because
of Dennis.
Wow. Okay. So that's the end of that. HBO Max has ordered the pilot plus 5 additional scripts, and now we're moving on to the clips.
Yeah.
The guy who does the Caseyisms just wrote that down, by the way.
100%.
The Little Things follows an out-of-touch deputy sheriff who joins forces with a Los Angeles sergeant to search for a serial killer who's been terrorizing the city. In this clip, Rami Malek discusses learning...
Huh?
What?
Who?
It's written incorrectly. Discussed how he learned everything he could about acting from Denzel Washington. Here we go.
If I could catch him in a moment where it wasn't focused directly on work, then I would use that time to pick his brain about his experiences, his life, and of course, there's a wealth of information, experiences, interactions that are, you know, Hollywood history.
What the f***?
The Little Things will be released in theaters on HBO Max next Friday. Next clip. Stephen King's post-apocalyptic vision of a world decimated by plague and embroiled in an elemental struggle between good and evil comes to life in The Stand. And here Brad William Hanke talks about his choice to add details from the book to the script.
Luckily for me, I read all the scripts first before I read the book. So I never felt like anything was missing. I just felt like I could add it to it a little bit, you know, add stuff from the book.
God, shut the f*** up!
None of the buttons are working right.
Episode 6 of The Stand is available today. Oh, it's today.
Today?
On CBS All Access.
We talked about this. So you're liking it, but you're not
I'm not loving it. I had such high expectations for it. I've read the book. I've read the novel twice. I watched the miniseries several times, and it doesn't go in chronological order, which is throwing me off a little bit, and I think it's losing some of its urgency in the delivery. Now, with that, I'm still enjoying it because I love these characters and love seeing them created on film, but I was hoping for a little bit more.
But
I'll ride it out, and maybe it's going to come home. You know, we'll see.
You hope. But this would stand like The Stand would stand as one of those examples of a book that you're like, why can't they get this right?
Yeah, please get it right.
Like I Am Legend, Richard Matheson, one of the greatest science fiction speculative writers of all time, wrote for Twilight Zone, you know, and on and on and on. Just, you know, so many of the things Richard Matheson wrote. His definitive book, his masterpiece. They've tried it 3 times. I Am Legend once with Vincent Price. No.
Yeah.
The Omega Man. No. And then I Am Legend with Will Smith. If they just made the goddamn book.
Yeah, as is.
As is.
Yeah.
It would be amazing. Now, there were decent versions, but it would be less expensive to make it the way it is in the book.
Yep.
But they've got to get their grimy fingers all over it.
Yeah, they do. Yep. All right. We'll see. Maybe this will have a good ending to it. We'll see. All right, and there you go. That's Entertainment Report for you. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Stacey Keach will be joining us. We have lots of money to give away with no sad dough, so make sure you stay close because we'll be back in just a moment.
WMMR.com, the website for everything that rocks. Music news, events, photo galleries, contests, MMR gear in the rock shop, and more. All at WMMR.com.
Audible is awesome.
It is. It is. I'm listening to a really cool book right now. It was one that Neil Peart had written.
He is not
narrating
it, somebody else, but I still feel like I'm listening to Neil. It's pretty cool.
And to those who resist, as I long resisted, again, I've said it many times because you think, well, it's cheating, you're not really reading. There are so many books I was not getting to because I couldn't find the time to do it.
Yep.
I'm getting to enjoy them in this way, and it works, especially when you're driving or whatever. It's awesome.
When I do the stepper at the gym, I hate it. So I have to listen to something, and you know, of course, I listen to music. But I did an entire book a couple of months ago on the stepper at, like, you know, 30 minutes at a time. Yeah. I would get like a good chunk done. It was nice.
Yep, absolutely. So thank you, Audible. I noticed some things.
Oh!
Yes, I did.
The noticer's back. He's been noticing like a mofo.
That's right.
And he's collected a whole bunch of noticoids.
Yeah. Welcome, noticoids. I've noticed, as has everyone, that the lotteries have been outrageously high. There was a winner last night.
Have they been?
Maryland.
Historically high or no? Mm-hmm.
One.
It's like second highest.
Yeah, point, was it 6.5 billion something like that? Was the biggest one ever? But to have two like this that have been that high, I don't know if that's ever happened before, but Kathy will look that information up.
Yeah, so the largest was $1.586 billion. That was a Powerball. It was drawn on January 13th of 2016. Three tickets won, California, Florida, and Tennessee.
Wow. All right. So so now Powerball's out of the running for big, big money. But
right.
Mega Millions is going to be near like a billion.
Like a billion?
I believe, 970 like million.
A billion.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Stallone do the ping pong ball release.
That was 7?
Yeah.
32. 44? Is that a 9 or a 6? What does it mean when the line is at the top?
That means it's actually at the bottom.
What?
It's at the bottom.
When I'm looking over here, it looks like it's at the top. All right. This is called a 96.
Okay. Is that what we're doing?
No, no.
Yep. So there have been studies that have asked the question if money can buy you happiness or not, and they found a limit on how much happiness your income can buy. Well, here, I'm going to expand on this. But a new study from Penn Wharton School researcher Matthew Killingsworth,
who funds these things,
says that's not really true. His study looked at nearly 2 million data points from over 33,000 people giving snapshots of their daily lives, and it found that increasing income affects well-being even into the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Previous studies have concluded income stops affecting happiness at an annual salary of $75,000 a year.
What?
No. That's it. Who? This is from the Wharton School of Business.
They found that previous studies have shown this.
Okay.
He found that money makes you happy.
Well, 75 grand.
Well, and hold on. Did you say that they're basing this off of snapshots? So does this mean they're looking at social media pictures and determining if someone's happy?
No. Snapshots of personal histories and things of that nature.
Okay, of people giving information.
Not actual Polaroids.
Correct. Yes. So, yeah, they looked at 33,000 selfies and they decided.
Well, seriously, if you
were to determine feet and food.
No, but if you look at social media, everybody would be super happy.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. And they look gorgeous, too. Yeah. And so many of them now look like Disney princesses.
And they're so pretty.
So his study found that each dollar someone makes matters the same to them, even when their salary gets to very high levels. So Killingsworth found that one of the main reasons that money makes people happier is that it gives them more choices.
Well, it's
we already knew this.
I think what it really does for people, like when we've had family situations or we've, you know, stepped in to help, removing worry, removing the fear of, how am I going to do this? How am I going to cover this? The whole predicate for Philabundance and for the Camp Out for Hunger, removing that fear. I think money helps remove those things and then is going to make your quality of life better.
As Forrest would say, one less thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, look, he was an idiot.
Yeah.
If you're not happy now, I don't think the money is going to make you happy. If you're a happy person, it's going to make things easier for you.
Exactly. So he emphasized that money isn't the only thing that happiness is about. He said, although money is might be good for happiness, he said, I found that people who equated money and success were less happy than those who didn't.
That's right. True, because the simplest thing still, my wife and I, we talk about this. still a fun movie that we sit on the couch and watch, and a good pizza.
Yeah.
You know, again, it's not like every day should be a date on The Bachelor where you're taking a balloon ride over a volcano.
But what money does is it alleviates the big concern.
That's the issue.
Rent, food, utilities.
Medical.
Yeah, that's all. It's just, it's more about the long-term concerns in your life, right?
That's it.
And that is pretty much it.
There you go. Somebody texted it perfectly. You're so much more eloquent than we are. Money doesn't make you happy. It removes obstacles to happiness. Meaning...
It's true.
That a lot of the things that cost money can get in the way
and
not allow you to enjoy... You know, you're so worried about that, you don't get a chance to enjoy the happy moments.
I'm reminded of what the Russian dog who went into space...
What was his name again?
Head of the class.
Yeah, head of the class.
That's it. I'm concerned for my own well-being because I know that I, for some reason, cannot find contentness. Right? I always have to find a toy or something that I need and that I'm going to fixate on.
That's okay. That is okay. Listen, you're not buying keys of Coke. You're not anymore. But I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Of course life should be you're looking for things to excite you and interest you and do that.
But I look at my wife and she's not the same way.
Because honestly, if you're just sitting by yourself in an empty room just laughing and smiling, you're going to be committed.
Yeah.
So, that's okay.
Yeah. I look at my wife and I look at my oldest daughter and they are identical. Like, listen, I'll go to like Target with my daughter and I'll be, hey, what do you want? She's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, what do you mean you're good?
Everyone wants something from Target.
I'm offering to buy you something. Something.
I took you to Target.
And she will literally go, no, I'm good. I don't need anything. And it's like, no, it's not about need. Don't you want something?
Frivolous.
Yeah. Okay. And
she won't get anything.
I know.
And I'm the opposite of that. I'm like, you know, and my son is the same way as me. Yeah.
Don't judge yourself, Case.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, other people.
You are who you are, and you're good to go.
Yeah.
You're not a bad person.
I freely admit that throughout all of this, through the past couple of months, I've used retail therapy.
Yeah.
It's great,
to
right?
And I'm not getting Ferraris. Yeah. I'm not having helicopters delivered to the house. I'm getting a Blu-ray collection that I wanted.
Right.
Or I'm getting
a new Batman.
A new Batman.
Mm-hmm.
New one's coming, by the way.
Wait. And here or home?
This one's going to be here.
Oh, great.
It's going to be here.
My wife is going to murder me.
Okay. those things are not, you know, they bring you joy. That's it. It's okay to want to have fun.
It's a study. It's pretty obvious, but I thought it was worth passing along. And I did notice it. I noticed something else, too.
Ooh. Noticers Trudeau is noticing.
Yeah. I noticed that, people can be unfaithful in relationships and be, obviously, not open with that. And so a woman on TikTok has come up with what some are calling a genius way for a woman to figure out if a partner has been unfaithful.
Okay.
Andrea Lopez is her name. She posted her method on TikTok, which only requires a lint roller.
TikTok.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's
TikTok.
That's where we get all the answers.
Absolutely.
A lint roller. In the video, she explains, ladies, if you want to find out if your man is cheating, get yourself one of these and roll it over the carpet. She says if the majority of the hair that comes up on the roller is not the color of your own, then it's a sign of infidelity.
You're mobilizing a whole bunch of amateur CSI
people,
and it's going to result in a lot of pain and misery.
You're right.
Whose hair is this?
Suddenly you're doing fiber checks and splatter patterns and all of that crap.
The only time something like that with Rochelle and I ever came where you were clearly, you haven't done anything, but something just can't be explained. One time we were in the car, and I'll never forget, and she gets in, and there was like a cherry chapstick.
I remember this.
And I don't use chapstick. I don't know how the hell it got in my
car,
and she pulled it up, and she's like, where did this come from? And I'm like, hell if I know. I have no idea where that came from. And it was a mystery to me as well, but I couldn't help feel almost,
I
didn't do anything.
Cherry chapstick.
I know. But it was a mystery as to where it came from. I still never found out where the hell it came from. I don't know if I gave somebody a ride or whatever and didn't remember it from years past, and it just happened to be floating around.
You don't know, and that reflexive guilt, like, Yeah.
Why?
And you know, it's happened periodically. Claire knows. You know, I'm.
Yeah.
And Rochelle knows. But I mean, you're still like,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
But what? Those things happen. Like, I have a friend who, like, the typical lipstick on the collar and, you know, makeup brushed off on something, a different color hair, like, where I'm like, it can't actually be, that can't be happening because that is too, like,
people it are does gone. Happen, though.
But that's a thing. Like, you know, like, what? Like, lipstick on your collar? Like, right. That actually, it actually happened, and, like, it was...
It had to start somewhere where it became a sign of infidelity, and so a lot of times things that are dispensed as, well, there was something there to begin with,
yeah,
you know?
Press, something similar happened to me where my wife and I, for a little bit, we were sharing the same...
Toothbrush.
No, Apple ID. And so for some reason, she would get... some of my text messages and even my phone calls. I remember she came down. She's like, there's a guy named Sean on my phone for you.
Yeah.
And I was like, why would he be calling your phone? Okay. And it was because of the Apple ID. So it was like 2:30 in the morning. My wife gets a text message from some number from New Jersey.
Okay.
And the text message just says, miss you, XOXO. My wife wakes me up, and she was about to murder me. I mean, her two options were to either murder me in my sleep or to wake me up and find out what the F is this.
Right.
It was freaking Jackie Bam Bam. She got a text message from Jackie Bam Bam.
Oh, my God. That's such a Jackie text. Yeah. Oh, my
God. That's awesome.
And she would think that it was a woman.
Awesome.
That's hilarious.
Yes. Because
I love Jackie, but Jackie, why would you not? Think that could be a possibility.
Jackie's very lovey-dovey.
Wait, but he sent it to you.
He
Casey.
Sent it to me.
He
but
sent
it went
Casey.
To her.
And it accidentally went to her.
I misheard
her.
That part.
Yeah, because of the Apple ID thing, she was getting messages that were intended for Casey.
Yeah, but it didn't show up as for her as Jackie Bam Bam. It showed up as Jackie Bam Bam's cell phone number.
Miss you, XOXO.
100%.
Let me ask you this, Kathy, as far as Preston, do you think you could pick up on signs if Rochelle was... unfaithful to you? How observant are you?
No, they'd have to be very obvious.
I would be so loath to even consider that from Claire that I would not even look for it. Now, Kathy, let me ask you.
President, you would have no idea.
Yeah, you're right. She's probably been banging somebody for decades, and I have no idea.
Why do we have glory holes in the bathroom?
I can tell in a minute.
You can tell in a minute?
Yeah, I can probably tell if one of you are.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Everything has a place where at your home, if something were twisted, you know, in a quarter of a turn the wrong way, you'd be questioning why that is.
Oh, and now,
who are you having sex with?
And now Jace is the same way. He's like, why is that not in the corner?
Oh, no.
Have you ever assessed quickly for a friend who couldn't see it?
Oh, man. You know what? I was wrong about a friend. And for a long time, I was like, there's no way. There's
but you still
no
put
way.
Flowers on the gravesite.
No, stop. I said to her, I was like, there's no way. It's not. It is. You're in your own head.
Yeah.
I was way wrong.
No,
yeah.
Really?
Yep. I mean, it's not like I feel bad about it. It was just my opinion. I liked the guy. But yeah, I was way wrong.
Let me go to this call, Casey.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to Lou. Hey, Lou. Good morning.
Who's Lou?
It is Lou. It's our Lou. What's up, Lou?
How you doing, guys?
Hey,
doing
by well. The way, thank you for the gift package for Christmas, man. I didn't get a chance to say thank you. That was really, really cool of you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. I just wanted to send you guys stuff that I love from the Bruno Brothers.
That was nice. Great. It was great. The prima donna cheese is fantastic. All right, so what's up, Lou?
All right, so I was working in Dallas, right? And a buddy of mine came to the shop, and he said, oh, you got to go get your hair cut at this place.
Hold one second, Lou, because when you said I was working in Dallas, the FBI had contracted me to stand behind a grassy knoll. The president was supposed to be cut. That's what I'm thinking.
I would not. Lou's been there for everything.
They said, make sure you're dressed inconspicuously. Yeah. Go ahead, Lou.
All right, Steve. So there was this Asian woman that gave a really good head massage when she was washing your hair.
Right.
So I said, you know, let's go. So we went, and, you know, we seen the older woman. I said, you know, I want her. And there was a gay guy. Not there's anything wrong with that. But I was like, no, I don't want you. I'll wait for her.
Uh-huh.
So I get my hair cut. I'm getting in the car, and I butt dialed my wife. And I was telling my buddy, I said, "Oh yeah, that Asian woman really massaged my head." and I was saying, "No, that gay guy's not touching me." Well, she hung up. This was way back when you could actually, when the buttons were on the outside of the phone.
Right.
You know, I'm talking back in the 90s, or the early 2000s. So she hangs up, calls me back, and she said, "You're at a massage parlor." I said, No. She goes, "Asian woman, massage your head. Gay guy not touch you." I said, "No, I was getting a haircut." She goes, "Yeah, right."
Is this your late wife who passed away in jail or your current wife?
My current wife.
All right. Well, listen, but honestly, now, so let me ask you, Lou, do you think you would be able to pick up on the signs if your wife was being unfaithful?
Yeah.
Yeah? So. You're pretty observant with that stuff?
Yeah. Sure, because you have your routines.
Yeah.
And when a routine breaks a little bit.
Right.
You know, it changes just the hair. Or there's new underwear in the thing. Or there's new bra. Or you get a new hairstyle.
Right.
Or you're going shopping more than you used to go shopping. Yeah, I think I could pick up.
Okay. All right. It seems like you have a pretty wonderful marriage right now, that everything's on the up and up, right?
Yes, everything's on the up and up.
Good. All right. Awesome.
All right, Lou. Good to talk to you, man. Thanks.
Hey, you too. All right, guys.
All right, see you.
That was Lou.
He's great.
We met Lou's wife, Casey and I did.
She's a looker, yeah.
Yeah, she's very nice. Too. And she was like, "Oh, my God, the stories he can tell."
He's great. He's great.
Dude, he lived in Dallas. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
But when you heard that.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, okay.
Okay, all right. Spend a little time in Dallas.
Are we talking Dealey Plaza?
All right, so the lint roller might be a way to tell if somebody is cheating on you, according to this gal. Let's see. I noticed this other thing, and this isn't going to be an issue for a little while, but it is going to affect us. Trillions. Very rarely do you hear you hear billions from time to time.
Yeah.
But rarely
do
you hear trillions. But trillions of cicadas are set to emerge across 15 U.S. states this spring.
Yeah, this is one that they've been forecasting for a while. The great cicada deluge.
It is a colony of insects known as Brood 10. That will be awakening from a 17-year-long hibernation.
Okay, well, that was what I was going to ask you. Has this happened before? Because I remember a year in Merrick, Long Island. I was with my family, staying there. It was in the summertime, and they were... That's all I remember about being there.
Were you a kid?
Yes, I was a kid. We were on bikes, driving down or riding down the street.
All over the roads, all over the sidewalks, dead.
But you could hear them. You could see them.
All over Long Island.
All over the place.
Was it 1987 by any chance?
Let's see. How old was I then? No, I would have only been one.
And you could ride a bike?
Casey, it probably was around then.
Okay, because that was 34 years ago, which is 17 times 2.
Okay.
Did math.
Good All for right. you.
Yeah.
So, yes, and the noise, Kathy, you're right. It can get up over 100 decibels.
They're so loud.
They're incredibly loud. So and the bugs, colloquially but incorrectly known as locusts, are expected to appear for the first time since 2004 in Delaware, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Maryland, Michigan, North Carolina, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So all of the Delaware Valley is going to be affected.
Yippee.
Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Washington, D.C.
Hey, on the upside, is it possible that they're a mortal enemy of the lanternfly?
Wouldn't that be great?
I haven't seen anything about that. So I find these animals fascinating because of what
their
they
life
do.
Cycle.
Yeah. So having spent almost two decades underground in their immature nymph state, eating tree root sap, the bugs will crawl out in mid-May to late June when the soil hits 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Like they're genetically programmed to do this.
And they all will just come out of the ground.
Yeah. It will likely happen after a sprinkling of warm rain.
John. Hey, Eddie.
Once above ground, the insects will set about mating, the noise of which can hit 100 decibels and lay their eggs before dying. The cicadas are genetically programmed to emerge every 17 years in a massive synchronous way, according to Michael J. Rupp, who's a professor of entomology at the University of Maryland.
So again, that kind of rolls off the tongue, and you don't think if you have a 17-year-old at home, or you're 17 yourself, think about the duration of your life.
Yeah.
Something laying dormant.
Yeah.
ready for that. In other words, what if the first time you really became mobile and active was tied to the first time you got laid?
Right. Densities, by the way, can be as great as 1.5 million per acre.
Oh my God.
So between Georgia and New York, there will surely be trillions emerging.
All right. What's the difference?
What are we going to do?
Well, what happens, what I hate about him is that you got him all over the place, and then, like, I'll walk the dog. Yeah. They always like, you know, they it's like, don't eat that. Or, you know, yeah.
By the way,
come on.
They pose no threat at all. No. I'll explain as I read a little bit further.
But what's the difference between cicada and a locust?
I don't know.
They're different. They're different insects.
Locusts are a little more like grasshoppers. Yeah.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, why did I always think that were like...
some people think that they are locusts, maybe just because of the size of their broods or whatever when they come out. So,
oh, yeah, you're right. They're much smaller. They look nothing like a cicada.
But do they have the same sort of life cycle?
Well, they have the same sort of mass when they you know, I don't know if you call a locust a brood, if they're the...
But there
was this footage, I forget where we were looking at it, maybe it was Australia... And, I mean, they can literally darken the sky, you know, when they travel.
And locusts destroy crops. That's their thing.
I think were they not in part responsible for the Great Dust Bowl?
I'm not sure.
Yeah?
I don't know what the locust situation is in America. It's usually in Asia, and because there was one. There was, like, I think, like, Pakistan was going to be nailed last year by locusts. So, they are believed, these cicadas are believed to appear in such huge numbers to overwhelm their predators. This, according to Mr. Ropp, he said their strange survival strategy is called predatory cessation. I'm sorry. And
PlayStation.
Predatory PlayStation. Brood 10 includes the Magicicada septendicium species.
Excuse me, Kathy Invisible.
By its broad, orange stripes. Magidician. No.
Where did Kathy go?
And the Magicicada Cassini and Magicicada
Steve Buscemi.
Septendicula.
Okay.
Who both have almost entirely black abdomens. Now, Rob said this is a wonderful opportunity for millions of people.
This is actually going to be quite exciting as they emerge from their underground dwellings.
To witness and enjoy a remarkable biological phenomenon in their own backyard that happens nowhere else on the planet. Truly a teachable moment.
Oh, it'll be fantastic as you're gathered around the barbecue being inundated with large, juicy bugs slapping against your face.
He said the bugs will cause no lasting damage to established trees, will not invade homes, or carry away cats, dogs, or small children.
They're just, as their exoskeletons are discarded, they're just messy. Yeah,
they're ugly looking.
But it does say that they can, like, pinch you, and they'll try to, like,
on your woman.
No, we'll try to, like, suck on your, I guess, your skin.
Who says that? Can you read it? What does it say?
Yeah, hold on. But it's not going to do anything. Like, it's not going to hurt you.
Well, I don't even like that part of it.
No. Ropp had encouraged those who are scared of cicadas to learn about the bugs that are, quote, a fascinating and unique part of life on planet Earth.
There's actually nothing to be afraid of concerning this particular insect. And it's actually a marvelous thing to witness as a trillion of the little suckers come from underground.
It's pretty amazing. I am kind of fascinated by it, but I don't like them.
I do not like them. I mean, can we send a message now and tell them?
Fascinated by their life cycle.
Can we stagger their alarm clocks?
I don't really care for the sounds that they make because it reminds me of the end of summer. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's...
Yeah.
Really? Oh, it reminds me of the heat of the summer.
Yeah. For some reason, whenever I hear that, I just think of, oh, man, summer's winding down. I got to go back to school. That's what I think of. Yeah.
Do katydids make...
No, katydids make a sound that sounds like the word katydid.
Yeah.
It's like, ba-da-da. Ba-da-da is the rhythm of it. But the rhythm of it is ba-da-da, ba-da-da. And so that hence the term katydid. Katydid. There are other, so there like quail that you don't find around here, at least not that I know of. When I was a kid and I lived in South Carolina for a short time, the nickname for quail was a Bob White.
Yeah,
and the reason
Bob White
it would go,
Oh.
Bob White?
Yeah.
And it sounds like Bob, White?
Bob
White. Bob White?
I just think of Three Amigos when you make that sound.
Why?
Because that's what, who do you call it? Lucky Day. When he's trying,
Lucky
to,
Day?
When he's trying to get everybody's attention. He starts with the Bob White. I believe I do have the Katie did sound effect.
Really?
Yeah. So hang on.
It came through.
It. Yep.
All right. Is it? Here we go.
It's beautiful.
Oh.
Huh.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
I'm the scat man.
Okay.
A katydid is also known as a brush cricket.
Oh, did not know that.
That's a pejorative. You'll get into a fight if you call him that.
All right.
Hey, brush cricket.
Listen.
What the F did you say?
That's all that I have time to notice because I did notice the clock on the wall. And if we don't take a break now, we're going to miss our opportunity for no sad dough. So we're going to do that very thing. But thank you for being on board with us here. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment. We'll get the B-file and, yes, your word that you'll need to win $500 with the no sad dough contest. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
MMR, we're kind of lazy about that whole resolution thing, so we resolve to let you fill in the blocks all weekend. You know how it works. We queue up the first two songs from your favorite bands and then use your request for the third. So make sure to listen all weekend at home on that new smart speaker of yours or on the go with the always handy, easy to use MMR app. It's a fill in the block weekend. Be a part of it. See, because you fill in the... Yeah, you get it. Right? 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, got some stories to tell.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Download the DraftKings app and use the code ROCK to get in on the action. Well, a married teacher claims that she could not have had sex with a student because she's too short for the position that is in question.
What position are we talking?
Well, Candace Barber is accused of performing a sex act on the 15-year-old boy who has not been named and having sex with him while standing up. Courts heard that she had already been convicted at a trial in September last year of sending a video to the boy showing her pleasuring herself while on a bed surrounded by sex toys and sexually communicating with the complainant as well.
So if that has already occurred, I think she could have found a way to make standing sex work.
The complainant, who is now 18, appeared by video link, claims that he also met Barber for sexual activity on three occasions.
Mm-hmm.
Nadia Shabbat, who was defending Barber, asked him about an alleged incident of sex while standing. She said, "You accept she is quite tiny, only about 5 feet, isn't she? So you were taller than her at the time, weren't you?
Uh-huh.
You did not even think she could reach your shoulders at the time, would she?" In re-examination, though, by the prosecutor, Richard Milne, the boy said that he had crouched and bent his knees to get around the difference in height.
So, listen, we've all been with people of different sizes. You accommodate.
You can make it work.
Yeah.
The boy could not name the specific dates when sexual activity had taken place, but he said that it was from October 11, 2018, and immediately before school half term, with two of the meetings he said happening before his 16th birthday and one taking place afterward. So
I once took Vern Troyer from behind while standing.
While standing?
Yeah. And I also won a limbo contest at the same time.
That's a hell of a feat.
It's incredible.
Please tell me there's video of that somewhere.
I hope so.
The court heard that before he told his headmaster about the claims the schoolboy alleged to threaten and ruin the teacher's life if he could not resume contact with her, promising that she would lose her family. So that's her defense, too, that he had become obsessive and so on.
But listen, anyhow. I haven't heard a lot of this case, but she sounds all kinds of predatory.
Yeah, so they're claiming that the boy had lied, and he is saying that she took advantage of him. So the courts are going to have to settle that. You should always check out your home's history before committing to buy it. The real estate listing for a home in Leeds, England, claims the home's previous owner is buried in the back garden.
Oh, my God.
Or at least where the back garden used to be.
Relatives of the owner reportedly decided to put the house on the market following the man's death in September 2020. The listing was reportedly shared on the UK real estate site Zoopla, though it seems to have since been removed. According to the description, the previous owner had lived out his whole life in the home, and one of his final wishes was to be buried in the backyard. The property was also reportedly listed as being sold with no onward chain, a real estate term that means the owner isn't waiting on,
off the chain,
on money from the sale of the house to move out. When Marilyn Russell was on our show, she had bought a house, and they found a marker in the backyard.
That's right.
That they weren't quite sure what it was, and she thought that there was someone
buried back there.
They did some research. Turned out it was a pet.
Would that be buried in the backyard? Would that be a deal killer for you if you knew someone was buried in the backyard?
Oh, a person?
Yeah. If it was a person, maybe.
Yeah. An animal, no.
No, an animal, no. I'd be fine.
Got it, yeah.
I'd be like, no, I'll honor that.
But
that's fine.
If Gum Gum's buried under your hot tub,
that might get in my head.
Yeah.
So
I want my birthday cake.
my cat is buried in my yard.
Okay. Yeah.
So I hope. I mean, you wouldn't know though. I mean, there is a marker there, but I mean, I could remove it.
Did you call before you dug?
Oh my God! The digging was terrible. It was March. The ground was frozen.
Oh, permafrost.
I insisted on him being buried in the yard because I loved my cat very much.
Yeah.
So.
No, I agree. And so there was a point at which we shifted to the ashes.
Was this the brown one?
No, it was black one.
Black one. Black.
Here we lay to rest the black one.
The black cat.
I always loved you, cat that was colored black.
Oh, it was so cute.
All right. Anyway, moving on to the bizarre file. Not much to this story, but I showed Casey the video. We believe it's out of Russian, a YouTube channel. It seems that these guys are speaking in Russian, but it involves a Nissan 350Z with a nice big wing on the back, and it was doing donuts on a frozen lake until it essentially pizza cutters itself into the ice.
Oh, that's great.
And you see it going around and around and around, and all of a sudden the front end goes down.
Guess what I forget to do.
And so it stops with the passenger side facing you. So you're like, it sits there for a while, and eventually you just see this guy crawling out from behind the car on the ice. And then the thing just sinks all the way down, and the dude got out just in time before his car went under.
Lucky, you ever see the James Bond movie, The Living Daylights?
I probably did, but I don't remember.
He rides on the rim. They're on an ice lake, and Bond rides on the rim of a tire around the other guy and cuts the ice
nice.
So that they sink down.
They fall in.
Very similar.
That's kind of what this guy did. So probably not a good idea to be doing donuts on a frozen lake. A New York man has now been charged. Oh, listen to this genius. In participating in the January 6th insurrection in D.C. after allegedly texting a picture and video of himself in the Capitol to his girlfriend's brother, a special agent with the U.S. Diplomatic Secret Service, the Security Service. The agent, who is a federal officer employed by the U.S. Department of State, reported the photo and video to the Diplomatic Security Service, which then passed it along to the Joint Terrorism Task Force.
Oh, I didn't know he'd do that.
The agent.
I mean, what would compel him to do that besides the oath he took?
Reportedly saw a post from his sister on Facebook that her boyfriend, Thomas Fee, was there. And then the agent subsequently texted Fee, who confirmed his presence and sent him a selfie of him in the Capitol Rotunda, appearing with a video and a text saying he was, quote, at the tip of the spear. So he turned him in. And that's all we have time for in the Bizarre File for now. But you still have a little less than 5 minutes to text over a word that might get you $500. And it is with the No Sad Dough contest we're doing. The word is cute. And like I said, you can text it. All right.
Yeah.
We have a special number, which is 45911. Or you can enter it if you want to possibly win $10,000. For the grand prize at the MMR app or at WMMR.com. So you have until 15 minutes after the hour, just a handful of time left to do it. It's brought to you by Steak'em. If you don't win now, we'll do it again at 10. So stay with us. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Get social with Preston and Steve and WMMR. Facebook, Twitter, you know, the usual places.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style.
whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, a text, if you don't mind, says, hey, guys, it's Shane from Mount Laurel. Can I get a shout-out to my beautiful fiancé, Ashley? Monday was her birthday, and we were expecting our first baby in June. So we'll do a shart, a birthday shart for the preggers, Ashley, and good luck with everything. And I also got another text. It says, hey, guys, I've enjoyed listening to the show this morning. Very entertaining, Nick McElwain. that was sent to my phone, though, not a text. Okay. So we now have a connection to Nick, who is at his home. So at his home. Nick, you there?
Yeah, hey, guys, how you doing?
There he is. So we're good. Nick has been really, really sick the past several days. Had a nasty, sinus infection and potentially pneumonia and...
bronchial infection, larynx infection, and then vocal cords, and then it spread to my ear. I woke up 2 days ago deaf in my right ear. So it's been a really difficult week.
Whoa.
But we have access to some of the best medical care in the world, and we're very lucky to have somebody like Dr. Mike in our lives. And so I was in contact with him this whole time, and he sent me to a guy that you know, Preston, an ENT named Jim Palmer.
Dr. Palmer is great, yeah.
Yeah, Perelman Center. He's a great guy. And so Dr. Palmer saw me the other day, and he is an ENT specialist. And so I went in to just try and figure out what's going on, because I have not been getting better over this entire week. And it's been frustrating because I want to be at work. I want to see you guys. And
right.
I just haven't been getting better yet. The cough has really been the biggest problem.
Hmm. Did you have to wait 2.5 hours before you got in to see him in his waiting room?
No, I was able to get in relatively quickly. Yeah.
But anyway, but Nick, you had an experience while you were there.
I did. So, Steve, I know you know the outcome of this, but you and I are now brothers.
Because yes. We're vagalites.
We are. Yes. I had a vasovagal reaction. I passed out. And the reason that this happened, and let me just set the stage, I was sitting in the doctor's chair in the doctor's office. So I was in the safest place for this to happen. But they did the scoping where they stick the microphone up your nose. And right. then they were also checking out my ear because I was having trouble hearing out of my ear.
They put a microphone in your nose?
Did I say microphone?
Yeah.
I meant a camera.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, right.
A camera. And
it was a microwave.
Maybe they put – it might have been a microphone. I don't know. Yeah. But it was definitely a camera. And so they did the thing. It's pretty pretty fascinating to watch the camera go inside your own body. And
yeah.
So it did. It went up my nose and then down my throat. And I've been sick for the entire week. So I was already feeling a little lightheaded. And then I could feel it going down my throat and also see it going down my throat.
Yeah.
And I started having a reaction where I felt nauseous and then I felt lightheaded and then I passed the F out. And
full on fainted.
There were two or three people in the room at the time, including Dr. Palmer, another doctor and an assistant. And somebody said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm about to pass out." And I did. And so then, you know, I was out for 5-10 seconds. You know, it wasn't a very long time. And I heard them scrambling and they were trying to find cold packs. And Dr. Palmer said, "How come we never have any cold packs in this room?" And they were able to find some. And then, you know, they put one on my neck. They put one on my forehead.
But it wasn't like Kathy where they went to go get you a juice box?
No, I asked her a cup of water and they went and they got me a cup of water. But, it's
– yeah.
Steve, I think you probably felt the same way that I did. It's embarrassing. Like you feel like you're going under. And these are trained medical professionals who see this type of reaction from time to time.
Well,
but you can't control it.
Mine was a little bit more – mine was – spontaneous. I was
you didn't
coughing,
feel it coming on,
and then I just woke up. So my whole experience, I didn't feel lightheaded at all. I just I basically put a sleeper hold on myself by
by
contorting down, you know, with a heavy dry cough, and that's what did it. But that whole thing. So when they were doing, I had the achalasia, you know, the issue that they did the surgery for and corrected, and they put that camera down my throat a number of times through the nose. They tell you not to swallow. This whole thing is like. But now I think I'm pretty good at it. So my career in porn is set.
Oh, it is. Yeah. It's really fascinating. It's a really cool thing to be able to see inside your body while they're scoping you out. I like it. I that doesn't turn me off. But it was the combination of being sick and everything that sort of went into it. You know, and I guess Dr. Palmer explained to me what the vasovagal reaction is, and it's this nerve reaction that not everybody encounters. Not everybody goes through this type of thing. And he says we see it in our office about once or twice a month, and people just have this reaction. Some people just have this reaction, and this is what happens.
So I didn't know. I find it amazing that, because I've passed out a number of times, that like I know it's coming, and I can tell them that it's coming. So
really?
I thought that maybe that was just me, but Nick seems to have a similar experience. Like I know that it is happening, and each time it's happened, I've alerted them to it before I go down.
Yeah, it just happened that once for me, but whatever it is, it's not pleasant.
I've come close to fainting. I'm sorry, Nick, we have a delay going back and forth here, but Kath, I have almost, I've come really close to passing out. Well, and I get lightheaded and things get dark. Is that when you're able to say I'm about to pass out?
Yeah. So I can't hear anything. I see like the dark sides, like it almost gets like a tunnel vision, and then I can't hear them. I can't hear anything. It sounds very muffled. I don't know what they're saying, and like lightheaded, and I feel like I'm gonna vomit.
When I was in the Blue Angels.
Oh, the same thing?
The jet type of thing, yeah.
Did you about to pass out?
Yeah.
You did pass out.
I did pass out. Right. Yeah, now that I think about it, yeah.
Okay, so when did you come close to passing out before?
The time we were in Ireland and I fell down the stairs.
Oh, the pain,
It was so much pain that I came really close, and I got nauseous, like Nick was saying. I started to feel like my mouth started watering, and I had to sit down, and then the hearing kind of goes a little bit. You can hear, not completely deaf, but everything gets quiet.
You hear scat singing.
And then, this bizarre thing happens in your head. It echoes. And then things start to get a little bit dark. And I didn't go all the way out, but oof.
I guess it's the body's natural defense, Nick, to sort of stop what you're doing to, you know, to preserve it or stop a progression that might be damaging to you.
Yeah, and so that's what Dr. Palmer was explaining to me, was that, it's some people have this reaction, which is perfectly natural. But Kathy, I don't know if you've had similar feelings, but the feeling that I had, the want that I had at the time was, I want to get on the floor and curl up in the fetal position. I feel like that's a safe place for me. And fortunately, again, I was in a doctor's chair in a doctor's office, so I was surrounded by medical professionals and I was completely safe. But I just wanted to get on the floor and feel like I could pass out in a safe place.
Yeah, Nick, I did feel like I wanted to lay down each time. I was also in a doctor's office. And the only thing, though, that helped me feel like I wasn't going to vomit, and I guess I didn't really know what happened in between, but I got the smelling salts each time. And that, like, snapped me out of it, so much so that I knew what was going on. I knew they had done it. I started to feel like I was going to vomit again and, like, pass back out. And I told the nurse, I go, I need it again. And she put it under my nose again. And then I was able to wake up and not feel nauseous.
We used to work at, when I worked at this bookstore years ago, when, you know, early when I started doing stand-up comedy, there was a guy who was, I guess, some sort of addict of something who was working there as well. And so in the first aid kit, they had the ammonia, you know. I guess he thought that would, like, give him a high, because...
Oh, no.
The manager go, what happened? What's the first aid kit doing on the... He would go into the bathroom and break them, like, as if he was going to get high off of them.
Have you ever... It's like, I mean...
I've only smelled ammonia right out of the bottle, and that hurt. Like, it was painful, but I hear it's similar to that, right?
Yeah, it was. Like, I wouldn't call it painful, but it snapped me the hell out of it. Like,
charges your brain.
You're what just happened?
My buddy's mom was like a home care nurse, so she had them in her home, and whenever we had sleepovers, he would bring them over.
Oh, my God.
And so whoever fell asleep first, we would wake them up with the smelling salts.
Oh, no. I think I might have some in the office.
No.
You want to try them?
Listen, I just got professional over a migraine. Athletes.
No, you don't want to do it.
Professional athletes use them
all the time.
All the time.
In soup.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Marissa, go look in to the right side of my desk. There's some drawers there. Look in there and see if they're... I may have gotten rid of them because
behind
we
the speedball.
I wonder if that would help your migraine.
I don't know, man, because it's mine is sinus related.
Yeah.
And I got to believe it would make it a lot worse. But okay. I don't want to flirt with that.
Cause no. Why did you even say you had them in the other room?
I don't know.
Well,
I'll
do it.
Because they've been sitting there for years.
You got to work your way up to it. Park in the garage and run the car engine.
Okay.
Yeah, you build
a I've tone. Been in the bathroom while Casey's taking a dump. So
that'll
that's
clear
a,
you
that's
right
a step
out. Yeah,
yeah.
That burns the silly out of your nose.
I'm going to go to John because John has some tips on how to not pass out when you're about to. Hey, John, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So our son suffers from basal vagal, and he literally has passed out on the floor. So when we took him to the doctor, some of the recommendations were if you can, like, do a wall sit and clench your legs and your fist as tight as you can, it slows the blood flow just enough to where it doesn't rush to your heart real quick.
So you're saying sit up again with your back to the wall, with your feet spread so that you're pressed against the wall, a wall sit.
And bend your knees.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a wall sit.
Right.
And then, like, squeeze your legs as hard as you can and clench your fist, and it helps with the blood flow. And it's helped him a couple times.
Oh.
And then the other thing is...
It sounds, I'm sorry to interrupt, it sounds similar, like I said, when you go in a high-performance jet and they're going to be pulling a lot of G's, that's what you're supposed to do. You constrict your lower body, and it keeps the blood above, closer to where your heart is.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marissa couldn't find a smelling salt, but she did find a little bottle of Jack Daniels.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Break that under your mouth.
My desk drawer, so that might work. Anyway, go ahead, John, what were you going to say?
And Smarties. Or like a quick sugar blast. So he always carries like a couple packs of Smarties with him.
Huh.
So if he feels it coming on, he can, you know, chew those real quick and get the sugar that he needs.
I like the wall sit thing. It's interesting.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, John. By the way, the diabetics carry around a little bit of sugar,
yeah,
right?
So at the same bookstore, we had a failed junkie and a diabetic who with the same thing. So he would have the packets of sugar.
Okay.
And he would come in and he would just, you know, pour down the throat. Yeah.
Smarties would be a good idea,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So, or Pixie Sticks. Maybe
Pixie Sticks
in your back pocket.
Or Oreo Thins.
Ooh, those are good,
those
too.
Are yummy.
Ooh, I saw something the other day, Steve. It's connoisseur territory, but they're making, well, you don't have to do the music, but they're making, like, Kit Kat Thins.
Whoa.
Like, thin. Those are already pretty thin.
Yeah.
But maybe they're going to be wider and a little bit more like cookie form. I'm not sure.
I could do that.
Mm. I knew you'd like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let me see here. Yeah, here we are.
Warn me first.
Kit Kat Thins.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby. Let me go back to Josh, who used to use smelling salts. Hi, Josh. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, buddy?
So, I was just in, like, a men's league hockey thing, you know, over 30 kind of thing. And I was also an EMT, so I had access to a lot of those, and we would crack them and sniff them right before we'd get on the ice. And let me tell you, it was definitely a push that you needed to get going.
Really? Like, now, would you do it? Wait, would you do it before the start of a game or deep into it, you know, in the third period and you're getting pretty wiped out?
Yeah, so our games were usually like 10 o'clock at night or something like that. So we could get the game going, but we're a bunch of old guys. So by the time middle of the second period, we're starting to crack those babies, and they definitely wake you up.
You know what I do? Like on the occasionally, I just a quick clear of the sinuses. I have Vicks vapor up, and I will smell.
Yeah.
I will just take a quick smell.
Just
kind of
clear
it.
This.
Just clear it, yeah.
So, Josh, when I briefly played for the Philadelphia Soul, when I was on the bench, they they took a whole bunch, like 5 ammonia capsules. And they would break them and stick them in an empty water bottle and then blow the air from the water bottle up their noses as well. Did you guys ever do anything like that?
Yeah, I mean, you get anything, especially because once you crack them, they last for maybe 10 minutes. But if you were to have 5 of them after 10 minutes, you'd still be able to get the full effect of a fresh one.
So, Josh, you say you're an EMT, you said, as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so medical question, is there any sort of long-term damage or short-term damage from doing something like this?
Not that I know of.
Okay.
I mean, I wouldn't be going sniffing them, you know, every 5 minutes.
Right.
Josh, but, what about using a defibrillator to kind of give you that extra boost?
Boom!
Yeah.
Definitely. But instead of using just a gel, we use the Vicks Vapor Rub.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
You just yell clear yourself. Clear, boom.
And make sure you're standing in a kiddie pool.
One of the things we used to do on the bench, was you go behind somebody, like you're putting your arm around them, and you stick the salt right up in their nose. I have no idea it's coming.
Yep.
So, you know,
sure, little practical jokes, yeah.
Thanks, Josh. We're watching a video montage of hockey players, professional players, that are sitting there sniffing away at them. Yeah. And they get these goofy looks on their faces. But I guess, if you need that little that adrenaline boost, maybe that'll do it for you. I have Pat. Hi, Pat. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, man. What's up?
So a couple years ago on Christmas Eve, I was at my family's house, and we're doing exchanging presents back and forth. And I actually started coughing. And I had a vasovagal incident, passed out for about 5 minutes, and was brought back by smelling salts as my other brother was about to give me CPR because he thought I'd completely gone.
Wow. Oof. Yeah, that's a good chunk of time.
That's long.
Yeah, it's usually just seconds.
Right.
Yeah, I wound up having giving myself a hernia at the same time on top of it.
How long did it take for you to clean the drawn penis on your forehead?
the only thing that helped that was the video camera that we're going for. So, besides that, that would have been quite a long time with those markers.
Yeah, all right, thanks, Pat. Appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Here's a text from somebody who says, and I've never thought about this. Says, look up what they do to put in an IUD. Almost vomited on the doctor and fainted.
Come on.
Mm. An IUD?
Yeah, I always thought
you can put. That's kind of a standard.
I thought they. Well, yeah.
You do it on women.
No, you don't put it in yourself, do you? Marissa's going like this.
Yeah.
No.
No. Yeah.
No.
No. No. Like a diaphragm.
No.
No, diaphragm is different. An IUD, I always thought they did a medical, like they put you out for that, Marissa.
I haven't gotten one, but I have friends that have, and I think they like. Scrape it into like your walls and
your sugar walls.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. They put a speculum in.
Speculum
and a special inserter.
So the IUDs, I know it's a different device. I thought there was sort of like a IUD,
like slip it in,
Pro,
yeah.
Or IUD on the go.
So it goes through the cervix and into the uterus.
Steve, it was the IUD throw and go.
Yeah,
yeah.
IUD delightful.
Mm-hmm.
I've always just like pictured like a fishing hook,
right?
Which is kind of like
it's a T-shaped thing, right?
Yeah. Plug and pump.
Yeah. But now they put them in your arm or something, too, sometimes, right?
Well, in case you do arm banging.
Yeah. No, I had a friend of mine a long time ago, like a good 25 years ago, who got
it's a different thing.
I think it was called a Norplant.
That's exactly what it's called.
And it's just essentially a time-released.
You could actually see the ridges of it. It was subcutaneous.
Yeah.
So it would sit shallow under the skin.
Correct.
Yeah.
And over time, it would slowly release the...
ammonia.
The ammonia. And it'd be awake all the time.
Oh, my God! No, so good to see you!
It would release the
birth control.
The birth control. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. God, I couldn't think of it.
Mad that I looked this up.
You looked up how they did it?
Yeah.
How did they do it?
It's just a special, just things that go in there.
Okay. It's all kinds of things that go in there.
I saw a picture that a man was putting.
That thing.
That's disgusting.
Ew.
He pee-pees out of that.
That's why it shouldn't go in your mouth either.
Oh my God.
It's got pee-pee.
I'll never forget the first time. And we've talked about this many times where I saw a picture of that. I'm like, but you pee out of it.
Oh my God. I probably said the story a quarter of a million times. The bottom of my neighbor's garbage can. And I'm like, has anyone told this woman
yes.
that the guy is peeing out of that?
Oh my God. All right, I'm going back to, it just says Dr. V. Hi, Dr. V, good morning.
Good morning, how are you guys?
Wonderful. It says you can tell us a little bit more about the vasovagal?
Correct. So vasovagal syncope, it can happen in anybody. Typically, there's triggers that one may feel, like when you're getting blood drawn, they're standing up in church, they're getting overheated. So like Kathy said, she can feel it coming on.
Uh-huh.
The best thing you can do is do exactly what Kathy said. Your body wants to get supine, get flat.
Yeah.
So keep
blood pressure to your brain. If you can elevate your legs, elevate your legs.
Oh, so that's your body, all right, wanting to get the blood to the right position. Okay.
That made sense, Doctor, because it made your body usually responds in a way that's going to try to prolong your life. So that's what it's doing.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
Right. And what you want to do is wait for this whole basivagal episode to pass, because usually it lasts for 30 seconds or something like that when the blood pressure already is quite low. And if you can get past the episode by just being laying down, cold compress, things like that, you let it pass. But the best thing is to try to figure out what's your trigger and avoid those triggers if you can. You know, I've had patients who have absolutely no trigger. They pass out and fall down the stairs. And those are very frustrating, difficult cases.
Sure.
Okay. Because it's interesting, because when Steve passed out here in the studio, he was coughing. And I thought essentially what I was saying is you cough so hard that the oxygen wasn't getting
like a sleeper hold
to your head.
Yeah. So that's the same thing. It's called tussive syncope. So when you cough so profoundly, you exacerbate that vagal tone, which lowers your heart rate and blood pressure.
Okay.
I had my 1-year-old crying aggressively when she was one and she passed out. It freaked out my mother-in-law. Same thing. It's all vagal events.
Okay. Okay. You know what? Speaking to that of the crying thing, can kids, you know how a kid sometimes when they, you know, they get hurt or something like that,
yeah,
that they will stop breathing before they eventually, you know, it's a silent period with the mouth wide open and then eventually, comes screaming out of them. Can they pass out from that?
Yeah, sure. Any kind of severe pain can cause syncope.
Okay.
Oh. It's like when intern Ben ran into the studio.
As you can imagine. All right, Dr. V, thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
All right, you too. All right, so Marissa brought in
you got it?
Smelling salts. Rodney had some.
Of course,
Rodney. Ammonia inhalant.
I bet you Rodney has a defibrillator on him right now.
Respiratory stimulant is what it's called.
You want to try it?
I do.
I don't know, man. You do?
Sure.
I've done them. I've done ammonia.
It's ammonia, essentially. That's what it is. It says ammonia inhalant.
And it has like a mesh cloth around it, right?
It says used to prevent or treat fainting.
How to prevent?
But it's a weird-looking thing. That's not what I'm...
Can you hold it up?
Yeah, normally it's like a capsule-looking thing.
And you break it.
It's just... It looks like a wet nap package.
Oh, that's much different. The ones we used to have had little... There were little very mesh. Light mesh mm-hmm. over a light sort of plasticky or glass container.
Yeah. God.
Let me just read
now you're supposed to put that in your uterus?
No.
Oh, was that the other thing?
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's the
idea. You want to try and smell this?
Okay. So
is it going to stink up the whole room?
No, it lasts for a few seconds and then goes away.
All right.
Yeah. So
it's like Sir Stroman.
It's got to go, and it's got to go pretty close to your nose.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I'll take a sniff of it, but I just remember having a bad experience.
Then don't do it.
No, don't do it. I'm going to do it, but I just remember it being really bad.
No.
I remember, I was
like pre-kindergarten, and my dad, he was like, here, smell this. And I was like, I started crying immediately because it hurt. What a guy.
What was your dad doing with medication?
No, it was just ammonia. It was like a bottle of ammonia for cleaning purposes.
You were probably being bad.
Here.
All right.
Let's open it.
All right. Trying to figure out where to open it.
Did you hate that? Yeah. I hate that with wet naps, too.
Oh, you're reading
on
that.
Don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah. I just had to get it started, Kathy.
Your teeth are not supposed to be used for opening
things.
Here.
There's a little ridge.
The ruffles have ridges.
Yep.
There we go.
Your teeth aren't tools.
Right. Exactly.
Can you smell it?
Didn't open up yet. There we go. Okay.
Ready?
It's not that bad.
Okay, man.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think if you've passed out, it's probably more.
Oof.
Yeah, see, that's it.
Can you hand that over?
Got it, almost. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really not that
almost
bad.
It smells like a really pungent diaper.
Why not just use a pungent diaper?
No, it's like a cat pee, Steve, like really concentrated cat piss.
Well, who the hell
yeah, you're right.
Yeah, right?
That? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's that ammonia.
This is nothing.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Oh, no, yeah.
I just lightly sniffed it, so... Tell me if that doesn't smell like cat pee, right?
No, and that's not what I've had.
No, Preston, the old style would be like a wham.
Yeah.
Like you'd get...
It would smack you in the face.
Right.
Okay.
This is much more passive.
I think, though, if I held it right up there and took a deep sniff, it would definitely...
Do something.
Put this in your ass.
Okay.
It's on my hands. I gotta go. I have to wash my hands. That's disgusting.
She's really Nick. She's leaving. I know it's a shocker,
it's
but she's leaving.
Kathy's writes erotic fan fiction called 50 Shades of Ew.
I don't. Why is she leaving?
Because she caught some on her hands.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you sure?
Let me see here. Okay. I'm going to go to some other calls about this. I'm going to go to Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, it guys. How you doing?
Good morning, it to you, sir. What's up?
So I have a vasovagal story. It's a pretty good one for you. My wife was pregnant, and she had to get the Rogam shot. So they took.
So her hair would grow in?
What's a Rogam shot?
What is that?
It's when you have different, I forget which blood type it is, but you need to get the shot so it doesn't harm your baby during birth.
Okay. Oh, okay.
All right.
But so she's getting this shot in her butt, of all places, and me having vasovagal, I was getting kind of fidgety, and the nurse goes to give her the shot, and I pass out in the hospital room, end up hitting my head on a side table next to the hospital bed, split my head open. I have blood gushing down my head, and the nurses all rush in, and they're like, who's the patient? Who's the patient? And I end up having to go to the emergency room in the hospital for 6 hours and getting stitches while my wife's upstairs wondering what the heck's going on with
me. Yeah, and that's, and yeah. So what the doctor was saying before is that the if you can sense it coming to get on the floor, the issues with it, as with me, I was standing when I passed out.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Yeah, you got to get down low because it's the fall that'll
the basil
cause
the
damage.
The basil bagels.
I love basil bagels.
Did they say bagel?
Yeah, I think I'm having a basil bagel. enjoy it.
Let me go to Alicia. So we're juggling a few different things here, and she's talking about the IUD. Hi, Alicia. Good morning.
Good morning, it. So, yes, I just got the IUD, and yes, there is a chance of you passing out. First off, you're right. It is a T shape, but it opens as a T, like the wings flip out once it's inserted.
Like so a transformer.
Yes.
How do they get it out?
They pull the teaser strings, which is actually what I just endured yesterday. They do a 6 week later string test. To make sure the strings are there and it wasn't absorbed into your uterus.
Oh, cool.
Now I have a vision that if, when they're pulling the string, like your arms and legs go up.
Right, like those old toys.
Yeah.
Where the legs are going.
Pull the little T-shape down. But yes, they tell you before you go in for the IUD, make sure you eat a full breakfast or meal, whatever, and drink a lot of water, because they do have instances where people pass out from from obviously the pain or whatever, as the doctor previously stated. Too much pain, you automatically just shut down.
Yeah. Where would you put, you know, from 0 to 10, 10 being the highest, rank the pain?
I would probably say a 5, maybe a 6. Just it's more like a pinch on the inside. It's not too bad, but if you're not, like they said, make sure you eat beforehand.
And after that pinch, it goes away.
No, you're a little uncomfortable for a while because obviously you have a piece of plastic up there.
How long is a while there, Alicia?
So I just got the second one. The first time I did it, it was more uncomfortable. The second time, because I got one out and then one in, was probably a day, and then I felt fine.
So, then this is serving as your birth control.
Yes, contraceptive.
Okay, so and obviously, I know its effectiveness is rated highly. And are there side effects associated with it?
There can be. The menstrual cramps are either worse or they go away completely.
Wow.
So you don't end up having your once a month. But yes, there are some side effects. There are actual instances where people to experience it do get pregnant if it's not in the right location.
Doesn't that suck that so many times you'll see the listing for a drug that is supposed to get rid of something, that it will cause the thing it's supposedly getting rid of?
Right.
Yep. Which is why it's important to go back. If it feels like something's out of place or something's wrong, make sure you go see your OB, make sure everything's good down there.
I never really, I don't hear much about IUDs any longer, but is it still, so why would one choose that over taking birth control?
It lasts 5 years, and as long as nothing's wrong, it's great. I highly recommend it.
Okay, so essentially, Alicia, just to avoid having the burden of taking pills all the time.
Correct.
Okay, but I would imagine also maybe you can't take pills for some reason.
That's part of it, too.
It's for long term.
Okay.
Right. You know, so like if you're planning on getting pregnant or something like that, you wouldn't have one inserted. Right.
Alicia, you're here to say it's worth it.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Absolutely.
And this is your second one?
Yes. Yep. I got my first one at 20.
and I got it put in. The doctor thought it was interesting, me being so young wanting that, but I just said I'd rather not have to worry about it. I'm on the forgetful side. I would not prefer to either do the depot where you have to go in every so long and get the shot.
Right.
Or do the pill. I just don't. I'd rather not worry about it this way. It's in. It's done. It's all clear.
How old are you now?
I'm now 25.
Okay.
25. Okay.
So there all you right. go. Man, well, good for you.
Thank you, Alicia. Yeah. You're a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
All right,
you guys
take
have a wonderful day. Have a safe flight.
All right.
She knows the stuff.
I love it.
I love that everyone has adopted Good Morning It.
You know, yeah, I guess so. I love it, too. It was my mistake. Hang on. Let me go to Meredith. Hi, Meredith. Good morning. It.
Hi. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? What's up, Meredith?
Well, I was going to. That's my little one. Sorry. I was going
that's my husband.
Yeah, clearly your eye didn't work.
I was going to get routine blood work, and I also have vasovagal. And I had learned that day that I cannot look at the needle when it's being inserted into my arm.
That's it. That's me.
So I made the mistake, and I was watching it, and I could feel it just like Kathy was saying. I was like, oh no, I'm getting lightheaded. I don't feel well. I think I'm going to pass out. And I told the phlebotomist. Next thing you know, I woke up. I was on the floor. They had put cold rags on my neck. I had slid out of the chair. And they're like, don't worry. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It happens sometimes. And I was like, yeah, I'm a little embarrassed. Well, don't you know, I looked down and I had also peed myself.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So my pants are all wet. And the best part is I had done this over a lunch break at work. Oh. I was supposed to go back to work, but my pants were all wet.
Oh.
So I had to call my coworker, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to need to bring my laptop down to me. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I just have to go home. I'm not feeling well. I can't get out of the car.
Wow. So Could someone grab Meredith's laptop? She's on the phone. She pissed herself. Thank you.
Let me ask you, Meredith. So now when you need to go to the doctor, you need to get blood work or whatever it is, do you wear rubber underwear, or do you let them know that you might indeed pass out and piss yourself, or what?
No, or do you not look at the needle?
I don't look at the needle, and knock on wood, I've been good since, and I haven't peed myself since, so it's good news. Look at the needle.
The thing to remember with this, Meredith, and anybody who has any of these kind of fears, the medical professionals have seen it all.
Absolutely.
So it's nothing, and they've seen it. Whatever you've done, someone else has done it.
Yep.
So don't worry about it.
Thank you, Meredith.
Well,
and I didn't know that the vasovagal thing could be a trigger from something you see.
Yeah.
And that might explain, and we saw the video years ago, but it's worth going back and watching, these military guys who have a fear of needles.
These are
the hardened, toughest guys that we have, yet that happens to be their weakness, and they're either getting shots or blood work, and they're passing out or just are terrified by it, so it can be a trigger for anybody.
So I can do it. I have no problem with it with the needles. I don't know if there's anything other than kids not. Kid mucus.
Well, that grosses you out.
That just grosses me out.
That's not going to make
you
pass
makes
out.
Me loopy, you know? I remember they made a huge thing in high school, or junior high, was it, when they showed you the miracle of birth in health class.
Yeah.
And you had to sign a waiver, and they had nurses standing around, you know, in the room to make sure you didn't pass out.
Yeah.
And kids were dropping like flies.
I'm going to go.
I was sick that day, remember? My mom made me call out sick.
We're jumping around here from birth control to passing out, and I'm going to go to, and I don't think we've ever talked to anybody named Martine before.
Ah.
Is this Martine?
Yes.
Hi, Martine. What's up?
I had an IUD put in. My sister had one, and she was on her second one, and she recommended it to me because I had three kids. And it was awkward at first, and then I started getting really sick afterwards. Like, I lost 25 pounds.
Wow.
They couldn't figure out what was going on. Come to find out, my body was essentially, I had like an underlying autoimmune. My body was seeing this as like a foreign object.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My system in my body went into like shock. And then they thought I had like growths on my lungs. I'm only 33 years old. So they were like, we're going to open you up and do lung surgery. They
whoa,
did a biopsy. Hi. They took three parts of my lungs and they were like, oh, wait, it's not sarcoidosis. It's not. It was all from the IUD. And they're like, oh, it was pneumonia. We don't really know what it was. But they took the IUD out and everything went back fine.
Listen, God bless, you know, medical science and all the advances we made. But there's still a lot that can confuse and trigger. So your body was so actively looking to reject this thing that it was sending the rest of your systems into panic mode.
Yep, overdrive.
Yeah,
wow.
Just trying to get rid of it.
From what I understand, pneumonia can set in when you're... when your immune system is going haywire, like your body does that to itself.
Yeah, it's like to protect in a bizarre way. Yeah,
yeah, that's really weird.
Yeah, I had an autoimmune, so it just triggered all that.
Wow. Well, I'm glad you got through it.
Okay. Now, strictly the pull-out method for you, right, Martine?
or abstinence. I'm a single mom,
I'm sorry to hear that. All right. Well, thank you, Martine. Right, we appreciate it.
Bye.
Martine's a beautiful name. There was an actress named Martine Beswick years ago who was a Bond girl.
I like that. Time for one more call, and we have got Keith on the line. Keith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Wonderful. What do you want to share with us, Keith?
I won $500 on
There it is. Keith is a no sad dough winner. Nice. Keith, congratulations, dude.
Thank you very much.
Are you going to buy an IUD for yourself with the new $500?
You could buy a crap load.
Yeah. Probably not.
Okay, probably a good idea. No, that's cool, Keith. Where are you from, my man?
Lumberton, New Jersey.
Lumberton, New Jersey. And longtime listener of MMR?
Yeah, probably about 22 years now.
We appreciate it, man.
We love that. And the $500 is just a little bitty thank you for your loyalty over all these years. So, congratulations. Anything you want to do immediately with the money?
Not right now. I might save it when I'm allowed to go on vacation.
Very good.
Use it for that.
I like it. All right, Keith, congratulations, my man. Hang on the line. That is how you do it right there, folks. And guess what? We're about an hour away from your next shot.
Nice.
We're going to give you a chance to win $500 through NAD, No Sad Dough with MMR. And it is brought to you by our friends at Steak'em. And, of course, it's every other hour until 8 p.m. today. So keep listening. We'll be back in just a moment.
Grab the free MMR app for your phone. You can stream us live, get on-demand audio and video, and we can even send you alerts on really important stuff. Plus, it's Android Auto and Apple CarPlay compatible. The MMR app, making your smartphone a little dumber.
All right, table for six, step this way.
Yay.
Come right over here. We got a beautiful spot for you.
It's time for the connoisseur. He knows all the stuff you want to know about food, plus some other stuff you probably don't want to know.
Mm. You know, and by the way, I'll need to send this article over to Marissa. It was from BuzzFeed. It was something along the lines of like 25 things that you would never understand unless you've worked in a restaurant before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Some good stuff on there.
You did. Casey, you did, and so did you.
Kathy was hostess, right?
No, I was the coat check.
Coat check. Then you didn't really work at a restaurant.
I didn't do
But you would make money.
So that you have it immediately when you're leaving.
Hey, listen, I made more money than the cocktail server.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
So it was great.
Yeah.
Kath, my brother was coat check at the Inglenook in Swarthmore. My sister was a waitress, and he often, most of the time, made more money than her. And my parents made them split their tips.
Oh, that's not right.
Well, because, dude, she busted her ass and worked, and the
coat check's easy.
He sat in a booth.
No, I know. She loses.
Crazy.
Right? Anyway, I'll get that to Marissa, and we'll post that on social, because it's worth looking into if you've ever worked in the restaurant industry. Okay, so grocery delivery service Fresh Direct is predicting that food shopping and cooking habits are going to change this year in 2021. The company's annual food trend forecast was released recently, and it predicts that consumers will buy more fresh seafood, premium cuts of meat, and prepared meals. The company also thinks that people would be ordering produce online in place of traditional in-person shopping, bringing more creativity into the kitchen, and have a higher focus on reducing food waste.
And then it'll all go back to restaurants.
Right. They also foresee a growing demand for same-day delivery and online grocery shopping in general. So hasn't this already been happening?
It's already been happening. It's been part of the deal. And I think people have seen that it's an option. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are just biting at the bit, though, to, you know, get back to eating out and stuff like that.
Yep. We've been trying to we've been cooking a lot at home. And for a while, we started to get into a rut and haven't really been paying attention to, you know, having some decent meals. And lately we've been getting back to cooking some interesting...
healthy, good options.
Yeah, healthy options and interesting recipes and stuff like that. It's a pain in the butt to cook a good meal, as Kathy would
and
know.
It usually sucks. Yeah.
Well, that sucked. But if you tonight go, on Well, That Sucked.
If you spend the time, you end up getting something that tastes better, I think, anyway.
The trick is spending the time.
I know. That's the hard part.
I know.
Right.
Well, my wife made it like a chicken and pasta meal the other night that was awesome. But the thing is that a lot of times what people don't consider is make a large portion of it, make something that holds well in the refrigerator
that you can reheat.
Yes. Yeah. And then that makes sense.
Yeah, if you can pre-make your meals,
yeah,
it's great. I try to have my lunches because now we bring lunch to work. And so I have to pre-make at least 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. If I can't do the whole week, I'll at least get 3 days in the fridge on Sunday ready to go, and I at least have that out of the way. Casey, I had a bit of a revelation. You noticed yesterday.
Are you the noticer or you're the
revelationer? He noticed.
Okay.
So Casey and I like to snack on apples.
Right.
We have little apple discussions every now and then about our favorite varieties.
Honeycrisp.
And there's a new variety called Sugar Bee, which I've fallen in love with. And so I bought these gorgeous big Sugar Bee apples. I brought them home from the grocery store. And as I took them out of the bag, they fell out of the little bag you get in the produce section. And bam, 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 they just started hitting the floor. Bruises up the apples.
Oh.
I was so pissed off. So what I did, because they had little mushy spots on them, rather than have them sit and get even more mushy over a few days, I took two of the apples and I cut them up into slices and I brought them into work. Well, that's a pain in the ass to just spend that time to where you can normally just grab the apple and eat it as is.
Mother ever.
But Casey?
Yeah.
I liked how the apple slices went down.
I know.
Better than the actual eating it off of the core.
I won't eat an apple regular because the skin gets stuck in my teeth and it will bother me all day long if I don't have dental floss on me. So if I eat an apple, I cut it up. That's how
I never eat an apple off the core. I slice it. I slice pieces off.
I used to.
I peeled it first too. Yeah. And,
yeah.
And
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Even
and it was
better.
I think I'm going to have to spend that time each week and do that.
Well, so that's why I'm almost strictly a Honeycrisp guy. I'll do a Gala apple, but it's because of the skin. I can actually take the skin a little bit better.
Everything that rocks.
I agree, because like the Red Delicious, the skin's bitter. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know? And that's probably the most popular variety of apple.
But interesting.
I have turned into an apple guy.
Yeah, I'm an apple guy.
I'm an apple guy now.
You know what? Another thing about apples and me, I can't eat just an apple. It hurts my stomach. Like it'll upset my stomach.
I know. I have that happen from time to time.
Yeah.
It must be acidic or something.
Does it give
you
liquidy boom booms?
No. Not like that. It just makes me, it doesn't make me feel great. Like it's almost like I ate like something that wasn't healthy. You know what I mean?
That's a band name.
Liquidy
boom booms.
Let me ask you, are apples really that good for you? Because they taste so good.
Fresh fruit.
You know, a lot of people default to fruit. Well, I'm gonna eat, 500 pounds of fruit, and fruit's got calories.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
No, loads of natural sugar. Too much of anything is not good. But it's natural.
I'll just eat fruit.
No, but natural sugar is fine.
Okay, because I on a daily basis, I just finished a juice cleanse, but on a daily basis, I have a banana, an apple. And an RX bar for breakfast.
And a T-bone steak.
And a T-bone steak. And that's it. That and a handful of Oreos. And that is it. And a pack of Big League Chew. And that's all I have for breakfast.
And then I wash down with the milkshake. And that is it.
And that is it. And then finally, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
That is it. And then my apple.
Yep.
And then in the morning, and then an apple a la mode.
And then some
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah,
not that much fruit. Yeah.
And then some Pop-Tarts. And that's it.
That is all.
And then some pancakes. And then I'm done.
So
after the bacon.
So fresh seafood, premium cuts of meat, and prepared meals are the next.
That's it. This
year. I have
ice cream, and that's it,
dude. Sometimes ice cream for breakfast is okay. Sometimes,
and then that's
it.
That's it.
Hang on, Marissa.
And my club sandwich.
Marissa says she has a 10-second food thing that she discovered last night.
Ooh.
If we have time.
All right,
hang on
a second.
Aren't we switching gears or something?
No, I just want to give her 10 seconds.
Oh.
Wow.
All right, here we go. All right,
there's
go ahead.
No way she's doing it in 10 seconds. Go.
Store your avocados in water.
What?
Store your avocados in water.
So, you know, if you cut an avocado in half, you only use half of it, it'll brown. The other half, if you don't use it, sometimes will brown.
Yes.
Marissa says, I saw your Instagram story, that if you put it in water, if you submerge it in water, it doesn't brown.
Yeah, I follow all of these food people on Instagram.
Stop at the clock.
And one of them
shared a tip where they said if you have an avocado sliced in half, I always just like put it in a Tupperware container. I leave the side that has the stone still in it.
Yeah.
And you think it's going to be good by the next day, but it's starting to get brown and like shrinky.
Yeah.
They said if shrinky. If you fill the Tupperware with water, you put it in there, you submerge it in water, it doesn't brown.
Interesting. And it doesn't do anything to the flavor?
Well, so I shared it on my Instagram. I got lots of like head explodey emojis. So people were like, oh my God, I never knew this. One person said they've tried it and it gets a little mushy, but it does save it.
Interesting. Now, you can also use lemon juice.
Got lemons.
Oh, shut up. We buy bags of lemons, man. Oh, God, yeah.
Can you just bring me one a week?
Sure. Let me get on that.
That'll get me through.
Here we go. It says, an even easier method is submerge your ripe avocado in water, cut your avocado in half, and fill a glass or plastic container near full with water. With the flesh side down, place the avocado in the container, cover, place in the fridge. This will keep the avocado from turning brown for about another 2 days. Huh. Well, I'll give that a try.
I want to try it with like a thin layer of water because I feel like if you are just putting, it says put the flesh side down. So that's the side with the skin on it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so it's got to be submerged.
No, not with the skin on it.
Okay.
Flesh
side.
What's the flesh?
That's a good question.
The flesh of an avocado.
I would think the flesh.
I want the flesh of an avocado.
Is not the same as the skin, oddly, but I might be wrong on that. I might be way off on that.
The video did have it like submerged, so it needed to be in there. So we can all do our tests and we'll report back next week.
I will call all your data and put it into a medical journal.
Okay.
Okay, the flesh is the part you eat.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
So it's the cut side.
Yep.
It could say cut side down, right?
All right. Yeah. Stupid.
Stop acting jerk.
Do you keep the nut in the middle? Or you take the nut out?
No, I would say you take the stone out.
Well, where do you nut?
In the middle.
Yeah. All right. What else we got here? I have some other things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Dessert-oriented news. Costco has gotten the internet's attention with its latest super huge treat. It is a 3-pound brownie.
A 3-pound brownie?
Yes.
From where? Does Costco's own brand, which is not their own brand, but who makes it for them?
Oh, yeah. Costco's brand is usually
Kirkland Farms?
Kirkland Farms, yeah. I don't know. It's $12.99. There's an Instagrammer called Costco Buys that shared a photo of the massive dessert. I don't know. That's all the information I had on it.
3-pound brownie.
Color me intrigued.
I mean, love brownies.
God, they're so good.
My wife has been making, throughout the holidays, Ghirardelli brownie mix, which is sensational.
Yeah.
Chocolate chips in it. It's so easy to make that I just said to her, stop it now.
Yeah.
Stop making it because we need to take a break from them because they're just, you'll buzzsaw through them. And Kathy, I know you like them moist.
They're moist.
Yeah. They're moist as a mofo.
I've never had a store-bought brownie that is as good as a homemade brownie.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what brand of brownies I used to love, schools would have them. And they were a little bit.
I remember.
Linden's.
I was never allowed to buy that.
Oh, yeah,
Linden coffee. My mom wouldn't let me.
Linden brownies. I know because they had bugs in them.
We had apples.
Because they had AIDS.
Don't buy the brownies; they're filled with AIDS.
But see, the Linden had the toffee cookies. That was my go-to.
Yeah, those are good too. And the Linden's chocolate chip cookies.
Mm. Well, now they got a 3-pounder at Costco if you're interested. Jeez. All right,
that's what we need.
This is a bit of a question about serving pasta at home.
Yeah.
It was an online poll. 1,600 people revealed the answer to the above question. How do you serve your pasta sauce with your pasta dishes? Do you mix the pasta with the sauce before serving? Or you serve the sauce on the side so people can add the amount that they want to their pasta.
So the way I like it is when they serve it with the sauce on the top and you can mix it in as you want and then you can add more. So a starter dollop, for lack of a better word, and you work it in.
So are we talking like a restaurant or are you going over to
you at home?
Grandma's house. Oh, at home. Okay, so you mix a little bit in. But the majority of it stays on the side so the person can put the amount they want.
I've always done the same thing, Steve. You take the pasta and then you put sauce on top of it and then you mix it. But the way you're really supposed to do it, from what I understand from watching cooking shows, is actually you're cooking the sauce, the gravy, whatever you want to call it, in the pan. And you throw the pasta in that pan while that's being cooked.
Really?
Yes. And you mix it up that way and then you take it out.
And then, of course, you can pick it up with, like, tongs, depending on what kind of pasta you're, you know, if it's a longer pasta, like linguine or fettuccine or spaghetti or whatever. And then you can kind of drip it. You can kind of shake it a little bit and get
that's
some of it off.
That's a second age.
Yeah. But that's the way, from what I understand, and chefs, you can call me and tell me if I'm different, but I understand that's a more traditional way
probably
to make pasta, is while a sauce is being cooked in a pan, you take the already made pasta and then you throw it into that.
I have to learn how to make a
French
sauce.
Toast.
No.
Me too, Kathy.
I have to, because I am Italian. My grandmother apparently was a good cook, and she taught my mom how to make a good sauce, and that's like pretty much the only thing my mom makes, and I haven't yet learned how to do it, and I have to do it.
Let's start with a grilled cheese sandwich and get that down first.
But this is like, my mom always tells me, she's like, this is so easy. It takes a while, but this is easy. She's like, that's why your grandmother taught me, because I'm like my mom, not, you know, not really into cooking, and this was an easy recipe, and you can feed every, you know, not the 900 people that come over with it.
This is going to be difficult for Catalina to learn.
Nick's jumping in.
Yeah, do you when you use meat in your sauce, do you cook the meat separately, like a sausage or a meatball?
Yes, to some extent. Like if it's meatballs, you bake those and then finish cooking them in the
you
sauce.
You put your meat in your sausage.
No, you put them in the
I knew a guy who would take, and this is a great idea, in his pasta sauce. He would take a whole, like, ribeye steak and put it in the sauce while it was cooking.
Really?
I thought that was kind of interesting, yeah.
I think of that scene from The Godfather, when he's preparing it, and, you know, they put the sugar in, and a little bit of vino, and, you know, all of that. It just looks so good.
Yeah.
Kath, and it's healthy for you.
I would like to learn how to make my own sauce. I'm not mad at however people prepare it, but I do, if you are going to mix the sauce in, I need to have the option of putting more sauce on, because I'm a lot of sauce kind of guy.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm a moderate sauce guy. I want a symphony of tastes.
I like
you guys want you guys want my mom to make some? She loves doing it, and she loves cooking for you guys, and she makes a really good sauce.
Yeah.
Anytime.
We should have a little jarred contest. Up. I can have my mom make hers.
Okay.
Ooh, I love it.
Yes.
It's Bucksco versus...
He's Delco. No, he's Delco.
Oh. I'm Delco, but my mom's... my mom's
Nick,
Chesco.
You're not Delco. Come on.
Chesco.
My mom's Colorado.
Well, who's Costco?
My mom's, let's just say, Bluebell.
Okay.
Right. I was reading another little tip for making pasta. Is that I read this the other day, and I've seen recipes I haven't done before, but if you are making a pasta sauce, make sure you retain just a little bit of the pasta water.
Yeah.
And you add that into the sauce when you add the pasta in. It supposedly makes it stick to the pasta a little bit better. It's got some starch in it.
Oh.
Oh, man. Pasta water makes me... It's gross. It grosses me out. It's like cloudy.
What is wrong with
you? It's cloudy. It's cloudy.
It's cloudy?
Yes.
It's cloudy.
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 It's cloudy.
Cloudy.
Gross.
God, I hate it.
Oh, by the way,
get it off of the
can you start pointing out things that aren't gross just so we can?
All right.
All right. Thank you.
I'm gonna try.
That's not gross.
That's her follow up show.
Yeah.
Well, that sucked, and that's not gross.
And this isn't gross.
Two different things. We should have a Sauce Bowl and have Nick's mom and Kathy's mom do this right before the Super Bowl.
And we drink a glass of each, right?
Yes. Secondly, my mom had gnocchi for the first time in her life.
Yes. Ginocchetti?
She is Ginocchetti. She is 73 years old. She had gnocchi for the first time in her life 2 weeks ago.
And what'd she think?
She loved it.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. You ever give that to me? What did you just give me?
Come
what
on.
The hell? I've been watching you with your big, fat, greasy fingers making Ginocchetti.
Come on, you could do it.
Imagine if your mother was Whitey Bulger from Black Mass.
Hang on, I'm going to go to
something for after school.
Joe is in the restaurant business. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Hey, guys, how are you today?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Not much. So, yeah, with the sauce. So when I'm at home, what I do, I work in the restaurant business, but I also, you know, obviously make pasta at home, like many others. But I at home, what I do is, I cook the pasta. I do what Kathy said. I put a little bit of sauce in there because of the starch, without anything in there, all the pasta will eventually stick together if nothing's in there.
Mm-hmm.
So in the restaurant business, however, there's two ways. One, if the restaurant uses fresh pasta, then that's what you do. You put the sauce in the pan. You throw the vegetable. Everything else you want to add to that pasta dish goes in the pan with the, you know, after the sauce is heated and the pasta and everything else, because it's not supposed to be that hot, just the sauce is.
And if you're going to pre-cook your pasta, like a hard pasta, you pre-cooked it. Mm-hmm. What you do is, if you don't want to add salt, you want to cook it later, say like in the restaurant business, we would portion it out.
Yeah.
You mix a little tiny bit of oil in with it, and you mix it all around so the pasta doesn't stick together.
Yeah, I'm so freaking hungry now. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it holds it. It keeps it very fresh for a while.
Okay. All right. Good tip. Thank you. Appreciate it, Joe.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You too, man. We'll see
That's one of the excruciating parts of watching, like, Goodfellas when they're in the prison and they're doing the thing and they're getting the bread and they got the this and the whatever the hell. It looks tremendous. It makes you want to be in prison so much.
You do get hungry and you want to be in jail. All right, let me see. I got a couple other things to get to.
There you go.
All right, we're gonna switch gears from really yummy, awesome pasta to Slim Jims.
Slim Jims.
You still eat them?
I haven't had one in a long time. Not a long time, but yesterday. In a while.
I used to love them. I don't love them anymore. I mean, I could eat one if I had to, but I.
Thought you said you could, like, keep some Slim Jims in the car.
No. I'll keep, beef jerky.
Okay.
Which is a little bit different than Slim Jims. I mean, it's a jerky type of thing, but...
It's got the essence of jerk.
I don't like any of that. I remember my brother was, like, loving Neither Slim Jims.
Yeah, I used to devour those things. So, anyhow, they've teamed up, Casey, to just tell you. I know you got something you want to add, but they've teamed up with Sonic Drive-In, and they have a Sonic Chili Cheese Coney flavored Slim Jim.
So, is it Sonic closing?
Yeah, that's what you were just talking about. That
only locally. Remember, Nick had told us that it was a franchisee.
This is bull crap.
Who had essentially gone under, and so had to close the local. So Sonic is still booming all over the place. Somebody else just has to buy these properties.
Buy them already. Just at the time when they get the exact menu item I'm not interested in, they go away.
Yeah, I will try it. I will try it because I do like the little flavor varieties that Slim Jim has to offer, and as a result, I kind of strictly go, the Monster Slim Jims are the thicker ones, and the Monster Tabasco Slim Jims are amazing.
I always like, Casey, the dual pack with a meat stick and a cheese stick next to each other.
Yes.
That's the one that I would opt for usually.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Kathy, I've never been into this, though. We did have a company on for a while that had some sort of jerky or... forget what they were, and they brought by samples all the time. Their stuff was very, very good.
Yeah.
It didn't have that processed taste to it.
My wife bought Jack Link's meat sticks the other day. They came in through Amazon. They weren't that great, man.
Meat sticks.
Well, it is their attempt at the Slim Jim. Yeah, no, I like Jack Link's beef jerky, but...
I like beef jerky.
The way I said that sounded so weird.
Beef jerky.
All right, what the hell's the difference between beef jerky and a meat stick?
Beef jerky is a little more dry, a little more
chewy.
Yeah, the meat stick is kind of softer, but it's and it's in a casing,
veinier.
It's in a casing as well. So, you know, it's funny though. But we used to, when I was a kid, and this comes from my dad being from the South, but we would buy all that stuff. If you stopped in a gas station and it was in a jar, if it was in a vat floating in vinegar, we would buy it. You know, I'm like, you could buy those super duper hot dog type of things.
I remember those.
Spicy hot.
Never got into those.
Pickled eggs or pickles or, I mean, even freaking pig's feet and stuff like that. Oh, my God. We used to eat that stuff like crazy. So now I find it disgusting.
Does this definition hash it out for you here, Preston?
Here we go. Jerky's made from lean cuts of beef that are cooked at low heat for a long time, so very little fat makes it in the end product. The other hand, meat sticks encased like sausage. Yeah, it says have 8 to 13 grams of fat. And I think that's part of it, Steve, that I got tired of that. I remember one time having a Slim Jim, and there was just grease all over my fingers. And with jerky, you don't really get that.
Right.
You don't get that.
It's more leathery, actually.
Yeah. With the Slim Jims, I usually keep it in its package, and you kind of push it up, and so you don't get all that grease on your fingers. Stuff. But I was always a sucker for the Wild Bill's beef jerky. That was always in that giant, like, mason-type jar when you go to the beer distributor.
Yeah.
It's always right at the register. You guys know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about, yeah.
I think it sounds familiar,
I stay away from that stuff. Yeah, go ahead.
What was that? We had that client because they provided me with beef jerky for a couple of the mountain climbs.
Yeah, I remember, right, Nick? I wasn't crazy. Yeah, it was really good stuff.
It was really good. It was all natural. And they were on board for a couple of years, and then they went away. And I don't know if they're still in existence, but I can't remember for the life of me what the name of them was.
It was really good. And they had, like, little chips, too, like older, like beef jerky chips and stuff.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Okay, hang on. Let me go to this call. I'm going to go to James. Hi, James. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Rock.
Thank you, James. You had a story about Slim Jims.
Yeah, when I was younger, my stepdad worked for a vending company place, and he brought home a case of Slim Jims. It was like 144.
Like a gross.
Me and my buddy sat there and ate every one of them. Right? Oh, and he threw up Slim Jims so bad, and to this day, he won't touch them.
Of course.
But James, why? Just to see if you could eat 100 of them?
We just kept going back and grabbing one until they were gone. And then I got my ass in trouble when he got home.
Yeah,
for eating 144.
You ate his salary.
Yeah, you ate a gross of
Slim Jim. Wow.
So right. Every time I pick the dude up or stop by, you know I stop and get a Slim Jim. He's like, ah.
I love it, James. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. All right, I probably have time for one more thing here. We're going to have Stacey Keach on in just a moment. So I saw this. If you love fast food, then Hawaii is apparently the state to be in. And I wouldn't expect this.
According
to data compiled by NiceRx.com, Hawaii has the highest concentration of fast food restaurants in relation to its population.
Okay.
With 97.5 fast food restaurants per 100,000 people. As of 2019, the U.S. Census Bureau estimated that the population of Hawaii was a little more than 1.4 million, which could mean Hawaii has around 1,365 fast food restaurants. So they rank at the top. And I guess, I mean, listen, it's an island and
sure.
You got a lot of tourism and so on.
Right.
But I would never peg Hawaii as kind of per capita having more fast food than anybody else.
The times I've been, they did have a lot of, you know, a lot of those franchise places. I remember that. I guess so.
There are a lot of franchise places, but I, you know, when I think fast food, I think, you know, Burger King and McDonald's
and stuff like that. But I mean, it could also be like
drive-thrus.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
But I guess it could be
Famous Amos or something. Right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. So let's see, who was in second place? New York was second.
Well, that's another island tropical.
True.
Yeah.
Well, it is an island. Manhattan is 92.3 fast food restaurants per 100,000 people. And it says, for some perspective, Hawaii's per capita fast food restaurant number is a little over three times the amount recorded in Alaska, which has 61.9 fast food restaurants per 100,000 people.
So what was that that factoid about the proximity to, on average, most Americans to a McDonald's?
Yeah.
There was some bizarre thing that
you're always within like 10 miles of a McDonald's or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where that stands
now. The vast
now.
Bulk of Americans.
But yes, that's correct. So, wise place for fast food. Yeah.
All right. So as long as we are in connoisseur territory, I want to give a shout out and a thank you to, there's a woman named Anne. I don't know how you pronounce her name, but it looks like it's like Fencil or Fenkel. Okay. She is with Joe Corby's fundraising pizza, and we were talking about Joe Corby's on air a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
And they're loyal listeners, and they sent us a care package of Joe Corby's pizza.
Is that where that came from?
That's where that came from. And then also, like, so I knew that they had pizza and cheesy bread.
Yeah.
And it was delicious, and it's been years since I've had it, but I had no idea that they had, like, cakes and cookies and all that stuff as
Coffee
well.
Coffee
cake, yeah. So wanted to say thank you, and, you know, I hope you guys are doing all right with the fundraising. You're doing great things for schools, and I don't know if you can order this just on your own, you know?
You probably can, all right, if you want.
Or if I had
just
to do
lie
it.
About your charity.
But, like, dude, yeah, they have, like, cheesecakes and brownies, and I had no clue about any of that stuff. But
a little bit of nostalgia for people.
Yeah, in the freezer in our kitchen are some cheesy breads. I took the pizza home with me because it was just one large pizza-making kit. But the cheesy breads you were actually able to parse out.
Well, thank you, Anne, for sending that over. That was very cool of you.
Very nice.
Hey, our guest is ready to go.
Yeah, we just talked to him.
Ready to talk to him, absolutely. And we actually spoke to him not that long ago, but we're talking to him on a different subject.
Yes.
About his show, American Greed. 14th season of this, by the way, which is great because it dives into the world of essentially big-time scam artists.
Yeah, big businesses and ne'er-do-wells and, you know, like Bernie Madoff type stuff.
Yeah. So please welcome the one and only, the legendary Mr. Stacey Keach to the program this morning. Stacey, good morning to you.
Hey, Preston. Hi, Steve.
Hey, listen, last time we spoke to you, which wasn't that too long ago, you were calling us from Poland. Is that still the case?
I'm still in Poland, yes.
Wow.
Nice.
It's not
have a beautiful house here. With my wife and I have been married now 34 years. Oh, my goodness. And,
The connection is pretty good. There's a bit of a delay, but we want to get the word out about the show because especially Monday night's episode focuses on something that both Preston and I are incredibly fascinated with, as are a lot of people, the Keith Raniere and NXIVM cult, which has been in the news lately, and HBO did a documentary about it. And so you investigate the finances of this organization, correct?
Correct. That's exactly right. Yeah. Keith Raniere, he was a smooth operator, but he was a little too smooth. He's no longer, behind bars.
Yeah. It's a fascinating story because he was the classic charismatic, high IQ, had this sort of spiel, worked with a lot of people. But the funny thing is that he wasn't targeting the disenfranchised. I mean, a lot of these people, like I believe it was the Seagram's heiress and I mean, people with great resource and people you would assume would be a little bit more savvy were his targets and were taken in, and some still stick by his side.
He is a smooth operator. There's no question about it. Most of his followers, thousands of them, were rich and famous people. I mean, and he amassed millions of dollars in contributions.
And so I know he's, and again, as it's a classic thing with these kind of guys, in the beginning, Stacey, when you start to hear this spiel and some of the stuff that he's talking about, you know, that seems pretty benign. That seems to have some merit to it. And then there's that point where it starts to click and you're going, oh, wait a second. And if people aren't familiar, this was a cult where they were actually branding women who joined a subsect of the cult and or whatever you want to call it, but it's a fascinating story. Are you as fascinated as we are by people like this?
Absolutely. I mean, and it's very difficult for me sometimes when I'm narrating the show not to have a vocal kind of inflection that shows a kind of respect and
I know
for the bad guy.
Yeah, I can understand that because you don't want to sound as if you're lauding them or that you're in any way, oh, this is so exciting and wonderful. You're not, but I think we as just people are find it so hard to wrap our minds around someone who would do this.
Unbelievable. Well, I know, but nobody knew when they got involved initially with him that it was a front for sex trafficking and horrific abuse. Nobody knew that. Because, again, he's purporting self-help.
Right.
Self-help spiels are very common now. And that's why we don't want to be victimized by it.
Right.
We want to be very careful involved with something like that. And again, if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Stacey, I'm sure in your time in Hollywood and all the years in your acting career, Hollywood specifically is rife with stories about like Scientology and these other groups of, people seem to be having a great idea of how to lead your life. And then it starts, oh, but you need to pay this much money. You need to do this. So have you yourself been approached or had to put up a barrier to protect yourself from people like this in your years in a high profile career?
I have to admit, 2 years ago, I became a victim of a very obvious scam, but it wasn't obvious to me at the time. I got a virus on my computer, and it suddenly was just there. And then suddenly, if you've got a problem, call us.
Oh.
And I called. I gave them, that computer technique where you can get into the other person's computer.
Yeah, they take control over your keyboard. Yes,
exactly right. Which I gave them, and then before I knew it, they were saying, "Well, we can fix this, but you have to go down to Best Buy and buy some trading cards."
Yeah.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah, that's a standard. Uh-oh. I mean, that's actually you know, and it's funny. Here you are for years hosting the show about scammers,
yeah.
But that shows you how you've got to have your radar up all the time.
And this guy was so smooth.
Yeah.
So he became my best friend. Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me on here. They were in India. He had an Indian accent. And I didn't understand it quite at the beginning. He said, I think you've got a virus. And I said, virus? Oh. No, virus. Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Because I was, you know, when you lose your computer and you can't do emails or whatever, I mean, there are lifelines.
Yeah.
And, so I'm willing to do just about anything to get it fixed. Wrong. Oh, did I pay the price?
Well,
thank God it wasn't a big price.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this though. You're bringing that up, and then the importance of computers and stuff like that. There's a lot being made now about the tech. What they're referring to them as oligarchs, and we're beginning to see the amount of power they have to shut things down and start things up. And you know, there's people are trying to breathe all of this in. There's a lot of money. We are talking about some of the wealthiest people in the world. Is the show focusing in on that as well?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm glad to talk up because I suspect that it may be a future episode there.
Right, right. I mean, you guys have done everything from Bernie Murdoch to WorldCom to I saw the episodes you focus in on mob money, which to me is fascinating, and how they go about hiding this stuff. It's, you know, the thing is, it's I mean, there's sadly an endless supply of these stories.
Well, that's true. Last Monday was Michael Avenatti. You know, the lawyer for Stormy Daniels.
Yeah.
Got in just Trump. This was last Monday. And then what we didn't know was that he had, he had this scam going on in Seattle with a company and alleged crimes ranging from theft to tax evasion. So, and he's still on the airwaves.
Do you ever marvel at, so for me, I think if I had something that was questionable, I'd try to keep a low profile. So many of these people, and maybe it speaks to the inherent narcissism or the mental that says, no, I want to expand. I want to become more obvious. Like the mob, at least for the longest time, had the idea, keep it quiet. Don't be audacious. Don't be flashy. And yet a lot of these other people keep going and putting it out there and making it more likely they'll be investigated.
Yeah, very, very well said. No, that's true. I think, well, I guess we call them sociopaths. Or,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a psychic. But I mean, yeah. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. So be careful. Caveat emptor, my dad used to tell me.
Yes.
You know, let the buyer...
Absolutely. Beware, yeah.
Yeah, but it's fascinating stuff to watch investigated, which you can catch on American Greed Monday. And they'll, like Stacey was saying, they're covering NXIVM, Keith Raniere. So it's 10 p.m. on CNBC. Enjoy your day, sir, in Poland. And I'm sure we'll catch up with you down the road, Stacey.
Thanks, President. Thanks, Steve. Thanks.
You got it. Good to talk to you. Stacey Keach, guys.
Nice guy.
Calling us all the way from Poland. And you know what he sounds like? You know, he's obviously an older guy and
maybe not tech savvy.
Not knows his way, doesn't know his way around the tech, and somebody pretends like they're trying to help, and sure enough, they take advantage of you. And I always think of somebody like my dad, you know, unfortunately.
What miserable scumbags.
I know.
Miserable scumbags who would do that.
Yep. All right, listen, we got no scam rolling here, folks. Just a chance to win $500. That's all there is to it. It's legit, straight up. I mean, we want you to listen to our radio station, most definitely. But we have the No Sad Dough contest that is going to be taking place. Oh, when we get back, I'll have a keyword for you. You'll have a way to enter that keyword and maybe walk away $500 richer. And guess what? This is only stop number two on seven times that we're doing it today.
Wow.
We'll be right back. Stay with us.
It's MMR's.
There's no sad in your dough, is there?
There is not, sir. There is not.
Nice. Yes!
Cash money. I'm awesome now because I've won $500.
You have indeed.
With money.
Robert, what's up?
I just won $500.
Nice job, my man. $500 with
no set door.
Listen even hours, weekdays. That's 8 and 10 a.m., noon, 2, 4, 6, and 8 p.m. Get the keyword and text it to 45911 or enter it via WMMR.com or our app to also get qualified for the $10,000 grand prize.
No set door!
$500 of 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks, you guys are awesome.
I appreciate that, and I hope the money comes in handy.
It will. Thank you very much, sir.
See official rules at WMMR.com.
We got the bizarre file, but first, a personal question. Does anybody know if the AAA in Ardmore will issue real IDs or not?
The website that I was on says
I can't find
yes.
out. Really?
Well, yeah, but it's... Okay.
They do licenses, I know that.
They definitely do licenses, but it
That's
says,
where I got mine renewed.
And this was back in 2018. It says that AAA Mid-Atlantic Real ID gets real for PA residents come January, and that was in 2018.
All right.
This is a statewide required monthly test of the emergency alert system, originating from the Pennsylvania Emergency Management Agency, Harrisburg. This is only a test.
All right.
Kind of convenient, isn't it?
Are we back? We're back. We're live.
We're back on.
Okay, so that was an emergency alert test.
Yeah,
I didn't know it was happening. We were carrying on a conversation, not aware, because if you don't activate the test yourself, at some point it will automatically go on. But we did get the word got out right for the okay, because we were going on and had no idea we weren't even on the air.
All right, so did you complete your message? Repeat it, because also with it we want to attest the emergency alert system. We also want you to get your real card.
That's right, my real ID card.
Yeah, because your birthday's on Monday,
yes.
And your license expires.
I got to get it. So, the real ID, AAA in Ardmore. I want to know if they issue them or not.
Well, okay. In addition to that, I want to find out because there's also a AAA in King of Prussia, and then there's also another AAA Preston in Royersford. And so those two are obviously more convenient for you than the Ardmore one. You would have to backtrack for Ardmore. So if any of those three offer Casey. Real ID. I hear Nick. The floor recognizes Nick McElwain.
The one in King of Prussia does it all. They're the most comprehensive. Preston, to answer your question, I went to the one in Ardmore last year or the year before and was not able to get everything done that I needed to get done. Eventually, I ended up at the one in KOP.
Yeah.
It's they do a take a number system. They're really organized. You might have to sit there for half hour.
Oh, yeah, dude. I went by there the other day and there was a line around the building.
Oh,
and
I
did not have the proper coat to stand outside. And so I went home and I'm like, all right, well, let me check this other one. So I have a feeling I have to go do that, but I wanted to check ahead of time. And a lot of people are texting in saying, no, that you can't get it at the one in Ardmore. So.
Oh, man.
But the KOP one does get it all done.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
so just know, go prepared. You know, it's not like you're asking if somebody works there as a fan of the show.
No. I'm not going to do that.
So would be ridiculous.
There's a really good Mexican restaurant right next door.
Plaza Azteca.
Plaza Azteca?
Yeah.
They got awesome margaritas.
Is that Spirit Halloween store still open?
I don't know.
All right. Anyway. All right. I appreciate the feedback.
Thank Olay.
You. Wait, real quick. If you're renewing your license,
You can travel with a passport, which will do the same thing as this will. But a lot of people just want to tie it all up into one.
Yeah, I mean, I have a passport, but I'd rather not take that out on the chance of accidentally losing it in case, you know, because passports are a pain in the butt to get, too. And if I can just get it on one piece of identification, I'd rather
this way, if you lose one thing, you've lost everything.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, but I have my passport fall back on.
Right.
Should I lose my real ID at some point in time. So, all right. Anyhow, let's do the Bizarre Five.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. Let me get to some stories. We will begin with this one. A suspected car thief
fled from officers on Saturday and holed up in an apartment where he shaved his face, changed his clothes, and even cooked tortillas in an attempt to pose as a resident there. This wasn't his apartment.
Wow.
Yeah, he ended up burning the tortillas, which led the police to call the fire department. Officers knew their suspect was in the apartment and had ordered the man to come out. They also didn't buy his ruse that he lived at the apartment.
I live here.
Leobardo Hernandez was arrested on suspicion of burglary, possession of stolen vehicle, and some other charges. So the incident had started as a report that a man in a car was acting erratically. Officers discovered the vehicle had been stolen. The man ran from officers. A lengthy foot chase happened with the suspect. Steve, this is like out of Point Break. A lengthy foot chase with the suspect jumping fences and running through a park. People helped police by telling officers where the suspect went. The man reached an apartment complex. He jumped a fence, tried to get inside one of the apartments, but it was locked. He ended up in another apartment, which was had an unlocked door. The residents were not at home at the time. One resident later told police that the suspect was not a relative. The residents were able to see the suspect's activities via surveillance cameras that were inside the apartment. Officers ordered the suspect to leave the apartment. The man, meanwhile, had destroyed items belonging to the residents, replaced his clothing with the residents' clothes.
Son of a bitch.
Used their hygiene products and shaved, and also started cooking tortillas, which ended up getting burned and set off a smoke alarm. So this guy was actually going to the length of cooking food.
To make it look like he lived there.
To make it look like he lived there.
Did he use their underarm deodorant?
They didn't say. They just said hygiene products, so he may have done that.
Imagine, Kathy, if there's armpit hair on it.
He also... So officers saw the smoke when he was burning the tortillas coming from the apartment, and they called the fire department, and the suspect later surrendered. Let's see here. Russell Jones of London, England, recently broke his ankle, and then he noticed his dog Billy was keeping one of his front paws raised while walking with him. He posted the video on Facebook showing the dog seemingly limping next to him as he walked using crutches while sporting a cast. Now, Jones says he then spent about $400 on having Billy checked out for any injuries or issues, but a veterinarian was unable to find anything wrong and told Jones the dog was imitating the way he walks with his ankle broken.
Aww.
Is that not adorable?
That's adorable.
Jones says Billy has been limping since the day after he got his ankle injury, and he limps along with him just because the guy was doing that.
Is it a greyhound? It looks like it's a greyhound.
Yeah. I don't know.
They're wonderful dogs. Great, great, great dispositions.
Some Americans will be able to buy COVID tests as easily as a bag of chips. Why did I put this in the bizarre file? This is meant to go in the vending, or not in the
vending machine. That's bizarre. That in and of itself is bizarre that you put that in there.
I know.
It says vending machine here, and I said, I meant to put that in the vending machine. I meant to put that in the junk drawer.
A lot of people don't know we actually have a bizarre file vending machine.
Well, we probably do now that I've said it, so we'll visit that another time. And we could have little coin
It'd
sound
be great. You can pull like cigarettes. You pull out. Remember, they used to pull out that handle.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. All right. So next time, that we go to the junk drawer, it will be the vending machine.
Oh my god!
All right. So, oh my god! I'll have you guys pick out letters and numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the one we'll go with. Bill will love it because we can play Do Another Theater of the Mind.
Theater of the Mind, put a mousetrap in it.
Every now and then it'll get stuck and we'll have to shake the machine. Yeah,
really sell it.
All right. Let's see here. This was supposed to go into the vending machine.
What?
What did I do this morning?
What happened?
All right, let me put that over there.
All right.
I'll save that for
tomorrow. All right, let's, who's betting this next story
put
is?
Put that in C3.
This one isn't. All right, police officer. Police officers don't regularly steal donuts, for the record, but authorities in Utah say they got a call from a 7-Eleven on Sunday saying a man wearing a sheriff's deputy jacket had come in and stolen a donut before leaving. The worker also described the thief as driving a white truck, one that fit the description of a vehicle that had been reported stolen. Police were able to catch the truck at a local motel.
Did this guy think because he was dressed as a cop that they were going to give him the donuts?
Steve, he probably thought it was the perfect crime.
Yeah.
He could walk in and take it, and none would be
come
the wiser.
Come on.
So they arrested 47-year-old Daniel Wright and 40-year-old Christian Olson, and both were charged with possessing a stolen vehicle, while Wright was also hit with charges that included impersonating an officer and stealing a donut.
Mm-hmm. You should have hit the jacket in the vending machine.
Yeah. All right, then we'll do one more story. A bizarre set of circumstances has netted a Nova Scotia man a conviction for drunk driving. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police were called for a motor vehicle complaint. Responding officers found a parked car straddled the white line. The car was missing its front windshield. There was a hole in the back window, glass on the highway, and an axe in the back seat.
Uh-oh.
At first, police said it appeared that the car was empty, but then a man leaned forward in the driver's seat, and he was identified as Trent Williams. Lewis had asked police why he was being pulled over. It was then that the judge writes that the officer noticed Lewis had his pants pulled down to his knees.
Oh, no.
He said, I believe I can take judicial notice that this is an unusual way to wear one's pants when operating a motor vehicle. The officer ordered Lewis out of the car, told him to pull up his pants, and it was then that he took off running. With his pants around his knees, by the way. And he didn't get far before being tackled by
was
the officer.
Was it driving and whacking? Was that what he was?
I don't know. Okay. I don't think so because, so they said, given Mr. Lewis's condition, the officer could have given him a 100-meter head start and he still wouldn't have evaded capture. At Lewis's trial, a woman testified she drove him and another man that they were in the car and Lewis started, quote, freaking out. She said Lewis kicked out the windshield. At which point she and the other man fled. She told the court that when they left, there was no axe and no hole in the rear window. But somehow or another, he got it. And where the axe came from was a mystery. Lewis himself remembers little of the events leading up to his arrest, other than that it involved a quart of rum, cocaine, and a four-day house party.
Okay. Yeah, that explains it.
In addition to his conviction for drunk driving, Lewis was also convicted of fleeing police. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you, friend. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a second, and we'll test your knowledge of the show. Today's program, we have a lesson question, trash, and music news coming up. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like the Preston and Steve Show podcast? Check out MMR's other audio on demand at WMMR.com or on the MMR mobile app.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
In the meantime, though, your chance to win some goodies. We have a lesson question from today's program. And we have a digital download of The Stand-In with Drew Barrymore. And the question, let me see, I did not get a chance to go through these, and that's my own fault. I apologize. Let's go into this. Who is handling Shia LaBeouf's case in court? 215-263-WMMR. Either that, or I'll even let you answer a different one if you want to. The three tenors were Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and which Jose? Not really. 215-263-WMMR. I like that one better, actually.
You like that one? All right.
The three tenors were Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and which Jose? Not really. Or you can tell me who's handling Shia LaBeouf's case in court. We'll go two. All right, 215-263-WMMR. We'll do the trash while you're calling.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Gwynedd Mercy University. Their graduate programs have proven professors who can help propel you to the next level. Visit them at gmercyu.edu. What's up, Steve?
Well, as you said earlier, Prince William's private secretary Christian Jones is leaving his position after less than a year for another job. Jones says he can no longer work for William because he's a, quote, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot. No, wait, that's the boss of 9 to 5.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Machine Gun Kelly telling James Corden on The Late Late Show that he's had numerous encounters with extraterrestrials. Kelly says that they always seem to be hiding in huge piles of heroin.
No.
And finally, Olivia Wilde has limited the amount of comments she will accept on her Instagram to keep the chatter about her new boyfriend, Harry Styles, to a minimum. However, in a bizarre twist, Wilde did change her Facebook status to sitting on Harry Styles' face.
Wow.
And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, let's look and see if we can get someone who knows the answer to this one. I believe this person wants to answer the question, the three tenors.
Okay.
Were Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and which Jose. And we are going to go to our first caller in, who I believe was Adam. Where is Adam? Adam. Hi, Adam. Good morning.
Hey, bitches.
Hey, hey what? All right, Adam. Luciano Pavarotti, Placido Domingo, and which Jose?
Jose Canseco.
Yeah, you're correct. Yeah. Hang on, Adam. Got it right. That means we're going to give you a digital download of The Stand-In starring Drew Barrymore. You can stream it instantly on your smart TV or favorite device with the Redbox app today. Rated R from Paramount Pictures.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Dickhead.
All right, we're going to start with a follow-up story. The Pearl Jam tribute band.
Yeah.
That we spoke about yesterday, formerly known as Pearl Jam with two M's.
Right.
Has changed their name. So they bowed. Remember, they had a cease and desist order from the actual Pearl Jam, and they were being kind
Pearl of Jam?
Pissy about it. And so now they have changed their name to Legal Jam.
Legal Jam?
Yes.
Yeah.
After stupid. The Seattle-based band issued a cease and desist. So the real Pearl Jam accused the UK band of damaging the Pearl Jam brand and causing confusion. The tribute band issued a statement yesterday saying, "A name doesn't define us. We do what we do out of love and respect for Pearl Jam. We have always been clear that we will yield to Pearl Jam's demands."
Do they get paid when they perform?
I don't know, but they
of course they do.
They had an album called Yield, so that's why they use that. To Pearl Jam's demands, and equally clear that our disappointment was only ever of the timing and manner in which those demands were made. We are proud to announce our new name, Legal Jam, which we thought would be fitting and under which we will continue to perform the music of Pearl Jam in the most heartfelt and authentic way.
It's a dumb name. They should go with something. Pearl Jam. Why not?
I like Pearl Jam.
He said, we look forward to reconnecting with our own fans and the other tributes who have been so supportive throughout this as well. Welcoming new fans who have joined us over this last week as soon as we are back on the road. So they bowed. Gene Simmons touched upon the importance of Jews in modern culture during a new chat with American songwriter.
Jews are amazeballs.
Simmons, the son of a Nazi concentration camp survivor whose father served on the weekends in the Israeli army, was born Chaim Witz. That was his name.
Yeah.
In Tirat Carmel, Israel, and only moved to the U.S. at the age of 8.
It's an incredible story.
Simmons spoke about the crucial role that Jews played in the creation of rock and roll, explaining the real secret that that's not widely talked about is that it was Jews, you know. Originally, it was race music. He said, black music was not allowed to be heard on white radio, and it was really the Jews, meaning, he said, Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller, who wrote, "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog," "Give Me Fever in the Morning," all that black music, he says. The Coasters and Ben E. King and all that, written by two Jews. He said, two Jews who couldn't stand Broadway and that kind of schmaltzy music that other Jews were doing. They loved black music, and they were responsible for a lot of the black music that came out there. Elvis, Big Mama Thornton, and all that. He went on to say, the truth is that if it wasn't for Sam Phillips and a lot of the other guys early rock and roll, including Elvis, it would have never happened.
Do you know the original title of the song was "You Ain't Nothing But a Rabbi"?
I didn't know that. Yeah. He said it was these Jews who owned the record companies that opened the doors to black music. Sam Phillips recorded Bo Diddley and lots of other stuff, while the rest of the record companies would never touch them. He said that he learned, by the way, speaking about coming from Israel, he said that he had learned to assimilate to the American way of life by reading comic books.
It's amazing.
He said, by the way, it's worth noting that all the superheroes were created by Jews. Yes, they were. Yep, he said. Superman, Batman, the Hulk, Fantastic Four, Human Torch, Submariner, Captain America, Jews created. He said, Jack Kirby, not his real name, Jacob Kurtzberg. Stanley Lieber. And Bob Kane was actually Khan. He had recalled that the mixture of comics and rock helped define him. He said, when I heard rock, words like "you ain't," which was considered vulgar, I heard how people actually spoke. He said, the best teachers I had were rock and roll and comic books. So that's
he makes a strong case. And there's a history there that should not be forgotten.
Hmm.
And I love chickens, too.
That, too.
I have to throw that in there.
You can't forget that.
Simmons out.
Simmons out.
Exactly.
Okay.
I still love from Brian Seacrest.
Poisons, Brett Michaels, Billy Idol, Tommy Shaw from Styx, the Allman Betts Band, and Winona Judd, among others, will be on hand Saturday the 23rd for the Big Love Benefit Concert to raise money for Sweet Relief Musicians Fund.
That's good.
Rolling Stone reported the event will be hosted by Def Leppard drummer Rick Allen and his wife, musician Lauren Monroe, with former Guns N' Roses drummer Matt Sorum and Miles Kennedy also performing. Appearing in a non-musical capacity will be Sammy Hagar and the band Chicago.
What are they going to do?
I don't know.
Show you how to pack luggage?
All proceeds from the show will benefit Sweet Relief via Allen and Monroe's Raven Drum Foundation project, Resiliency.
Let's say you're traveling to a tropical location.
The Sweet Relief Musicians Fund provides financial assistance to music industry professionals who are out of work due to COVID-19.
I don't think I've ever heard, so we're looking at Billy Idol here with an acoustic guitar. I don't think I've ever heard him unplugged and...
No.
Just...
Not that I can remember.
Yeah, this is a very unflattering angle for Billy Idol.
Yes. It's kind of at a down. Anytime you're leaning forward, looking down at a camera,
the jowl,
your jowls get even bigger, even if you have small jowls.
Nice day for plastic surgery.
And then one last story. Former AC/DC bassist Mark Evans has spoken in a new interview of past tensions between the Aussie rock legends and Black Sabbath.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
The musician who played bass on hits such as TNT, High Voltage, Dirty Deeds, and Let There Be Rock, during his stint with the band from 1975 to 77, dished the dirt on the ancient feud and other topics. He discussed the famous blow-up between Malcolm Young and Black Sabbath's Geezer Butler. He said, Malcolm got into a stink with Geezer Butler for some reason. He ended up knocking out Geezer Butler. He said, I don't know why, but he knocked him. He KO'd him. There was a story that someone had a gun or someone had a knife. And the next morning, when we were going out of town, Mal said, I've got to go stop at the hotel and go in there. Malcolm ended up clocking Geezer, went to the hotel. He would come outside. It's not looking good. And then we got kicked off the tour because of it.
Wow.
And then there was much gnashing of teeth. So
why did I was completely unaware of this rivalry.
Evans' recollections echoed those of Angus Young, who in December had recalled the same event, but his brother Malcolm had that his brother Malcolm had grappled with Butler, and he tells a little bit more about it. He said, "The thing with Geezer Butler, I think they were drinking one night, and I think Geezer had some knife or something, and he flashed it at Malcolm. Malcolm took it off of him. He said there's a trick to getting knives away from people, so Malcolm immediately did that, and then he said, "What are you going to do now?" So it was just a case of that. Malcolm,
it actually goes back before that. They'd gotten into an argument. It had to do with a League of Their Own, Preston.
Oh, no. Yeah. Dottie dropped the ball?
Yeah, yeah.
And she dropped it on purpose.
I said it was just a case of that. And Malcolm, he woke up the next day, felt bad about it because we were touring with him. And he thought, I better go and say sorry about the night before. And he went there. He said he bumped into Ozzy. And Ozzy was saying, what are you doing here? And Mal said, well, I had a bit of a run-in with Geezer and his knife. And Ozzy said, him and that effing knife. he said, don't apologize to him, Mal. He said, tell him to F off. Now, in 2016, Geezer himself had addressed the incident, alleging that he didn't pull a knife. He said, I always had flick knives when I was growing up.
Flick knife is a knife.
Because everybody used to go around stabbing each other in Birmingham, England.
God, I miss those days of youth when you went around stabbing each other.
And he said, I was just flicking it when Malcolm Young came up to me and he started slagging Sabbath. He said, we were having a drink together and I was just playing about with the knife. I was just having a drink, flicking my knife like you do. And then he came over and said, you must think you're pretty big having a flick knife. And he said, what are you talking about? And that was it. He said, nobody got hurt. So I don't know. Some people think that There was a punch involved, and others don't. So, though he was fired from the band on his 21st birthday following that spat between Young and Butler, Evans emphatically said in his interview that he harbors no resentment towards the band or their success. But a hell of a rock story.
What is, and I'm just throwing this out there, what is the greatest rock rivalry of all time that actually had merit to it? Because a lot of people think that
they really hated each other, not like the Beatles and Stones.
Because they were friends.
Wow, good question.
Because there have been.
Yes.
But none are coming to. There is some on lesser scales. But what is the highest level rock rivalry?
Oasis and everyone.
Yeah.
Maybe. Good question. I don't know. I'd have to dig around for that. Wait, Marissa has an idea.
I don't know the scope of it, but Neil Young and Leonard Skinner, was that a pretty big one?
They caused the creation of Southern Man and Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah, not really. And watching that excellent documentary on Leonard Skinner.
Right.
They said it wasn't as personal as it seemed like it was.
It was more like
music.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So
I really didn't mean it.
Jackie Bam Bam says that it's the Kinks, Crows, and Oasis Brothers.
The Kinks, Crows, and Oasis Brothers?
I guess maybe Kinks and Crows, and maybe the Oasis Brothers are a
against
rivalry
each other.
Against each other.
I would trust Jackie on that.
Yeah.
Kinks and Crows. Meaning Black Crows?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Okay. Marissa?
How about Eminem versus Fred Durst and Britney Spears?
Mm. Britney Spears?
We said rock, though, right?
I'm wondering, though, to take it on a level like this, take Black Sabbath and AC/DC. Well, then maybe they're it. Yeah. Maybe that's the biggest. And that was only, like, members.
Oh, somebody texted in. This is a good one. Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue.
Okay.
It was more Vince Neil and Axl Rose.
Yeah.
And I remember that. And Axl had a beef about them and went off. And then Vince Neil actually challenged Axl to a boxing match. He's like, let's do it. He's like, we'll do a charity event. Let's get in the ring and make it happen. Axl never got back to him.
Isn't there a song, Get in the Ring?
There's a song called Get in the Ring, and I'm not sure. And that was from one of those Use Your Illusion albums, I think. And I don't remember if that was...
Get in the ring, mother effer. I'll kick your effing ass.
Your bitchy little ass.
That's what it is.
It was after Bob Guccione Jr. in that song, too.
Yeah, he does. Remember that? Yeah, he specifically names him in that song.
God, in the newer pictures of Axl Rose, he looks like Florence Henderson.
Mrs. Brady?
Yeah, he does.
Wow. So I don't know. There's a bunch of them. Some texts are coming in. Joan Jett and Lita Ford.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it says Crew and Godsmack. I thought it said The Cure and Godsmack.
Oh, could you imagine?
No, I don't think so. Five Finger Death Punch and Anne Murray.
Godsmack and Motley Crue. Yeah, people are
mentioning
that.
Crying Like a Bitch.
A Bitch, yeah. It was about Nikki Sixx, right?
No, not Nikki Sixx.
I thought it was. I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, but I think
Nikki Hilton.
I thought Quicksilver was the guy who played Jeffrey Dahmer the other day. And yeah. I was pretty damn convinced.
Yeah, I know. But they look alike, man. I have your back
on
that one.
I simultaneously hate rivalries like that, but I also, they're interesting.
Well, it's like when, for instance, the Dixie Chicks, they were outspoken and Toby Keith took...
umbrage?
He took umbrage with that, and then they hated each other, but only because of their politics were completely and totally different, and so that was a big rivalry, and I don't think that was ever solved or...
Maybe it was.
Hang on, Thaddeus, a few people are pointing this out. Hey, Thad, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning.
What's up, bud?
Axl Rose and Kurt Cobain.
I could see that, so...
what happened?
There was a rivalry.
Yeah, remember there was like an award show and Nirvana was performing and Kurt like smashed himself in the head and he goes, "Hey, Axl. Hi, Axl." Remember that?
I don't remember that.
No, I love it though. Yeah, I love it.
And, then I think I don't know if it was because he banged Courtney Love or in her hole or what happened.
Yeah.
It could have been something like that.
Okay. I do remember some sort of rivalry, yeah.
Actually, going back to that, it was what's his name? Billy Corgan banged
Courtney Love.
Courtney Love, yeah.
Courtney Love. So then I think Kurt Cobain, that might not even be his kid. That could be.
Well, there's been rumors like that, but I don't know if that was really just a rivalry more than just an uncomfortable situation. Like, I don't know if did Kurt Cobain ever officially register disdain for Smashing Pumpkins?
Smashing Hole.
Yeah.
All right. Sort of band, Smashing Hole.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thanks, man. Guys. I appreciate it. There's a number of people that are texting, like, you know, David Gilmour and Roger Waters, but that's more infighting.
Yeah,
you know,
so it could very well be that at the highest level, it would be AC/DC and where bands were really against each other.
Hmm. Who was it? Stephen Jenkins and
The Stone Temple Pilots.
Yeah.
It was
Robert DeLeo or.
Well, all of them, I guess. Yeah. They had a little, and we saw that. That was backstage. We were there when that happened. It wasn't a fight or anything, but they had a moment. Yeah. All right. Anyhow, we got to wrap it up. Music news. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Pierre's coming in here shortly. Letter today. Word of the week. Prize. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Podcasts? Oh, yeah. MMR's got them. There's the Fun Size and Bizarre File editions, along with Preston and Steve full show podcasts, plus the MM Archives podcast and more. Click podcasts on WMMR.com.
Partly cloudy day. Warmest day of the week, 47. We're going to be at 43 tomorrow, 33 on Saturday. That's the high, by the way, 33 on Saturday. And partly cloudy skies. Each day, 37 on Sunday. So we got cooler temperatures on the way. So soak it in today, folks. Ooh, yeah.
Suck it up.
Lick it up.
I want to thank Stacey Keach for being on the program.
Yeah.
Not the best of phone lines calling all the way from Poland, but he's a nice guy. And there is a show called American Greed that he's been hosting for 14 seasons. The next episode on Monday, 10 p.m., covers Keith Raniere of that Nexium. Cult, Nexium. And so you can catch that at 10 p.m. on CNBC. So it's nice to have him on. It's nice to see Pierre Robert in our studio wearing his fuzzy sweater today.
Thank you. It is my fuzzy sweater.
Fuzzy purple sweater.
It is.
I like it, man.
Thank you.
You good?
Very good.
Excellent.
And yesterday was National DJ Day.
Yeah. Was it?
But I forgot to play DJ songs. So on Pierre Standard Time, today or tomorrow, I got to get to some.
And it was National Popcorn Day the day before that.
It was. I did mention that.
All right.
Okay.
What do you mean by DJ songs? Songs that mention DJs?
Yeah, there's zillions of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I'm going to get to that today or not. But I might.
You know what? People will understand.
People will, because...
I know one.
For us, every day is DJ Day.
But every rose has its thorn.
Yeah.
The DJ say loves a game of Easy Come.
Oh, wow. Man. Interesting.
Easy Go.
I think of Roll Over Beethoven. Gonna write a little letter, gonna mail it to my local DJ.
Yep.
Things like that.
Harry Chapin,
right?
Yep.
Having a Party, Southside Johnny and the Asbury.
Yeah.
Kids.
Tom Petty.
The
Tom
DJ.
Oh, the last DJ. Yeah.
Listen to the music.
David Bowie, I Am the DJ.
Yep.
I love that one.
Green Day, Kill the DJ.
I've been reluctant. I actually did a DJ block a couple of years ago, and I put that one in, and I go, please don't take this.
And then radio song, DJ Sucks.
Right. That's a good one.
Well, yeah. Some good ones. All right. So you're going to do that today?
No.
Oh. Isn't that nice?
Tomorrow. Today he's doing...
Today or tomorrow or the next day.
Hmm. All right. Well, we should do the letter of the day.
Yeah.
How about we get to that? Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
C as in you call it.
All right. Oh. C as in call it. All right. So... We have 20, count them, 20 digital movie downloads, including 300 Beetlejuice, Blade, Buddy Games, Fat Man, Full Metal Jacket, The Goonies, and Tenet. That's just naming a few. If you want the complete list, you can click contest.wmmr.com, and we give that away tomorrow, which is going to be pretty cool. What do you have on the show today, Pierre?
Well, we'll have No Sad Dough at noon and 2 p.m. We've got Workforce Blocks of Traveling Wilburys, Led Zeppelin, and The Record Company. And I knew I had a reason for postponing the DJ block. We're going to have a conversation with Vicki Cornell.
That's right. Yes.
She's just amazing. And this was recorded. We did it a little bit ago. But she talks about his new covers album. She talks about... I ask her if Chris sang around the house, and she gives the greatest answer and in the car. And she talks really in depth about him and their foundation and all kinds of cool things about this new covers album that he has out and plans for a future one as well.
So, what time is that?
That's at 2 p.m.
Okay, excellent. I want to thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Markets, fresh foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by, let's see, Fred Bean. Say goodbye to 2020. Hello to great deals. Shop online at fredbeans.com. Tomorrow is a Friday, which is not only no sad dough, but no sad brill.
Both.
Where that came from.
It's a twofer.
We're going to have comedian Corinne Fisher on the show, and we'll give stuff away. We'll have a good time. That's all there is to it. That's it. We are done. So rage on and have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, friend. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Small Business Love You, Help You line.
This is Jamie from the Green Rock Tavern, home of the best burgers and pierogi in the city of Philadelphia. Located in the beautiful Port Richmond section of Philadelphia, 2546 East Lehigh Avenue. Best burgers and pierogi in the city of Philadelphia, go to Green Rock Tavern.
Next message.
Hi, this is Michelle from Paper Hanging by Ed Rossi. My husband Ed has been hanging wallpaper on the main line and in the Tri-County area for over 30 years. And this year we're offering sales of the most popular wall coverings direct to our clients. Find us online at paperhangingbyedrossi.com or call us at 610-363-6737. We'd love to help you create a fresh new space in your home.
The Love You, Help You line. Shop local because small business needs our help. Find out more at PrestonandSteve.com. 93.3 WMMR. Putting Philly first. Sponsored by DellAutoGroup.com, where Jack really does sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.